morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Woo! Get it on. Someone's got to bring Get It On back. Yeah, Get It On. Now, they just use Get It On as, you know, when people are humping, but there used to be people would yell, Get It On. Yeah, no choice but to get it on. I'm Adam, that's Rachel. Dave's over there, 866-901-ADAM.
Let's get it on.
Woo, let's get it on.
It's not just, I'm not just ordering others to get it on. I'm saying let's all get it on.
All right.
Giver.
Dave Coulier is coming in. He's from Skating with Celebrities, one of my new favorite shows, which is on tonight. And, of course, Full House. Dave, having a bit of a renaissance lately. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan, speaking of, let's get it on! I think that's what they yell at the Ultimate Fighting thing when they want him to fight. And Chuck Liddell is coming in here. Chuck is a UFC light heavyweight fighting champion. Joe Rogan has a background in that, does some of the stuff, does the color over at the Ultimate Fighting Championship, does the announcing, also Fear Factor and all that, news radio. Mike Ditka, Coach Ditka, is phoning in and talk to him about the Super Bowl. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to be in here. We continue our social experiment where our intern drops a wallet in different places and hopefully outside of the establishment this time. And when I say outside of the establishment, I don't mean living on some kibbutz or hippie farm. I just mean outside of the actual restaurant. I think people misunderstand me. I think I'm talking about the man. All right, so a couple things before we get into it. First off, I was watching the SAG Awards, and I don't know why actors anger me more than ever now, but a couple things that anger me. The actors who wear the glasses that never wear the glasses, except for in the thing, that Philip Seymour Hoffman glasses and Paul Giamatti. Everyone is wearing glasses. Every male wears glasses. The females will never do it. But the men, and I think if you're heavier, you'll tend to wear them more. But that sort of, I'm an artist thing, and this is how I dress when I'm not in my role thing. I think Johnny Depp does a little more of that than just about anybody. He never sort of, hey, it's time to walk down the red carpet, Johnny. How about you put some contacts in and clean, you know, get a nice clean shave, haircut, put nice starch collar on. It's always that, this is what I do, like I'm an artist thing. And they start thinking about, well, okay, these guys that, you know, then you see pictures of them out and about in the tabloids, and they're always wearing the beanie pulled way down over their head and the wraparound shades and the scarves and stuff. And you think, well, these guys are trying to cover up. And I have to admit, once in a while, even in my C or D list celebrity status, I'll put some sunglasses on or a hat. But then you realize, if you're the only guys wearing sunglasses walking through the terminal at LAX and the hat pulled down low, now you're drawing attention. People are like, you could be mistaken for a celebrity if you just took a beanie, just a ski beanie, pulled it down way real low like Leif Garrett, put some wraparound shades on, and put a poncho on, and made your way through the terminal looking down at your feet. You'd probably get laid before you got to your terminal. I do. If you're a celebrity, or you're not a celebrity, do that. Because that's the whole thing. Like, if you think about it, if you don't want to stand out as a celebrity, you should put on a NASCAR shirt. and some shorts, and walk with your feet, you know, when your toes point out when you walk, and be looking around, put your head up, look around, look like you're in awe, like you've never seen indoor lighting, and then start in point, you know, gesticulate. No one will recognize you. Take the sunglasses off, put on the NASCAR shirt. You wouldn't know. If you saw Johnny Depp, but he was minus the sunglasses, he was minus the beanies, everything, he's wearing a NASCAR shirt, you'd go, who's that yokel? I kind of, and then you'd say to your wife, he kind of looks like Johnny Depp, and she'd go, get out of here. Nothing like
it. I don't think Johnny Depp is into NASCAR.
Yeah, I don't think he's a big Wall Trip fan, okay? Yeah. All right, so, I want to give some tips on life, but first, Rachel Perry had a question about home improvement that we decided to save for the air.
I did. I was at Nick's house over the weekend.
Your beau?
Yeah, my old man, as some like to call him.
He owns his own home.
Yes, he does.
That's good.
He's moving up in the world.
Ambitious.
Yes.
Smart.
I think he hates home ownership.
Well, let me say this before you get to your question. Everybody should buy a house or a condo. They should buy whatever as soon as they can do it.
Yeah.
I've seen too many people stay in the same apartment for 10 years, and they won't squeeze the trigger, and all they do is watch the prices go up. And here's the deal. If you buy something, and 2 years from now, you get laid off, and you can't handle it, then sell it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'm going to rent a car for the rest of my life because I don't know how the job situation is. Well, you buy the car, you drive it, and if you have to sell it, you sell it. Thank you. Been telling Dave Damashek that for years.
And I finally took you up on it, and you're right. It's not something I'm looking to make money off of. You put the money there, it's still, instead of it sitting in the bank, now it's all in that house, you see.
Right. Or in your case, the condo.
Well,
which I like to think of as an apartment with two parking spaces. But
true.
Let's keep going.
But anyway,
it's an apartment with a high ceiling. That's what a condo is. Go ahead.
The whole time that I've known Nick, in the shower, to turn on the shower, you pull it out, and you turn it all the way to the right to get the hot water on.
Right.
For some strange reason, this weekend, you have to turn the knob to the left to get hot water.
Interesting.
What? How is that even possible?
How is it even?
Did we move to Australia without my knowledge and, like, all of a sudden the toilets are going backwards? I don't know.
Move to Australia? We're in Australia, sweetie. We've always been in Australia. What are you talking about, mate?
I am in the Twilight Zone.
Wow. Mate. Barbie.
How could that happen, Adam?
I don't know. I have a better, more vexing question. How is it that there's as many different shower handle spigot things as there is showers? How come? I've been to 1,000 hotels. They never have the same setup. It's different than my house. It's different from everyone's house. Nobody could ever go into no one could go into a shower stall and go, oh, this one. I know how to work this one perfectly. It's always, what the F? What is this? Oh, yeah. Oh, I have to stand on this pressure plate and then turn it counterclockwise and then wait an hour. Like, could we just decide on one that works and just use that one? You know what I mean? Like, you get into a car. I always get back there. But you put the keys in the right side of the ignition and you turn clockwise. If it were somewhere else, if it was underneath the seat and you turn counterclockwise, you can't do it. You just can't. You know what it's like? It's like reverse. Even though there's only three or four places for reverse, remember that? You got to push the shift down and go hard all the way to right, then back. And you could sit in the car for 20 minutes just making weird noises. With the shower, and by the way, you could be hurt doing this.
Yes.
This seems like a safety issue. You know, a thing where you're in there and it feels pretty good. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody dumped a boiling lead onto you from the top of the castle. It's crazy. Let's do three at least. There's 300,000 different variations. There's never, at least hotels. Shouldn't hotels be required? You know, I'll get to your prom, but how about this?
I'm on your tip, Adam.
Hotels have a whole bunch of requirements. They have the pneumatic door closer. That's why when you're trying to take a nap and you hear the room next, ka-kunk, ka-punk, you know, it shakes the wall. Right. I, by the way, always stop it so it shuts slowly so as not to wake up the neighborhood. But evidently, I'm the only man on the planet who realizes that the metal fire door banging against the metal door jam with the metal studs reverberates down the entire hall. Now, I'm the only one who'll ever stop it at the last second. But everyone is ka-chunk, and it just rocks you. And even if you have earplugs on, you feel it in your teeth. But the point is there's a whole bunch of stuff about fire codes and about this and about that. It's all regulated until you get into the shower. Then it's a cage match. Free for all. You've entered the octagon. I use no hyperbole. You've entered the octagon, and now you have to do that thing where you're pulling back and turning and constantly putting your hand in, and there's that, is it getting hotter or is it getting colder? I can't tell. My hand's numb. Now, how about just one? Every hotel, exactly the same. Just a hot and a cold, you know. Whatever it is, if you've been to more than two hotels, you know exactly how it works each and every time. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be very nice.
Now,
it'd be a blessed event.
As far as Nick's shower goes, there's something wrong with that valve.
Yes.
There's something horribly wrong.
Yes.
Is it tiled? Is the stall tiled?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It's a little bit of trouble now. How old's the house?
I don't know, but it's sort of sewn together with love.
The house.
Yeah, it's kind of all different
styles.
Yeah, you should come over. I was thinking you should make it the next house that you renovate for the TLC show.
I wanted to, although my wife was appalled, but I wanted to... I have a lot of very grandiose ideas that my wife is appalled at, but we were taking a walk down the street just in the neighborhood a few months back, and we went by a house.
In your NASCAR jacket.
I was in my NASCAR jacket and my Oakley Blade wraparound reflective shades.
Of course.
And I had my number 3, we'll never forget, hat on. So, you know, and I was wearing my waffle stomper boots and my big shorts, and nobody knew who I was. So we, clean shaven, and we went to, or just bad mustache, but we went, we're walking down the street, went to a house that's being renovated, and I just walked through it, and they were like sanding something they should have been using stripper on and doing this and doing that. And I gave them a few points, and I told the old lady, I had to do a service where people, you know, they give me a couple grand, I make a pass to the house, I tell them what to do, and they leave. She decided I was a pompous ass, and we kept walking with my NASCAR shirt on. By the way, what happened to support? You know what I mean? What happened to support? That's
you,
all.
You marry a woman, she's behind you for life.
My wife likes to make fun of me. I mean, my wife likes it. I'm right 9 times out of 10. Oh, that's not fair to me. 99.999 times out of 10, I'm right when I argue with my wife. So when I'm wrong, she revels in it. She enjoys it. One time she administers. Actually, the one thing I like to do with her, which makes her the most angry, is she'll say to me, "Do you know who, you know, fill in the blank, writes this song? Do you know this piece of trivia? Do you know who?" And I'll just say to her, "Well, do you know the answer?" And she goes, "Yeah, I know the answer." And I go, "Well, then I must know. Because there's nothing you could know that I wouldn't know. It'd be impossible." But there's a few family things, like you may have had a bird when you were a young child. I don't know the name of that. Things like that. But everything else, if you know it, of course I know it. Which always makes her mad. And then knowing it when she yells at me, then it makes her extra mad.
So do you know why the shower got hot the other way?
I gotta ask my wife. She knows the plumbing. Well, yeah, something is terribly awry with that valve. I mean, it's all in the valve.
Are we gonna die?
Quite possibly.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably.
Don't go back there. Get out. There's a hot and a cold line that run to that valve, and then that valve's sort of a mixer.
Right.
It kind of mixes the pressure and the hot and the cold, and something's terribly wrong with that. And you got to take it apart, and you got to take it out of the wall now. And now you got some tile floating around there, and there's trouble.
Yeah,
you got to bang a hole in the tile and the mortar and all that stuff that's on there, and get the whole valve out. Tell Nick that they make these chrome cover plates.
Oh.
Big sort of cover plate, sort of decorative.
Mm.
So what you can do is you can take the little opening there and you can bang it out in the plumber can and undo all the stuff and make a big hole and put his new assembly in and then cover his hole up, because it'd be impossible to retile it nicely.
Yeah.
Cover that whole hole up with this sort of chrome filler plate thing. Mm. Looks like a little hubcap on there, but it's not bad looking.
Right. Don't tell Nick that. I mean, tell Nick to tell the butler that.
Oh, okay, I will.
Right. He's guys, a dandy.
Guys don't do anything around houses anymore, which I don't find frightening, the fact that guys don't work on cars and they don't work on houses and they can't fix anything and they can't fight anymore either. But the scary part is how they broadcast it. Like there was a day when a guy, just because he had an ounce of sort of bravado or male ego, if he passed by and a woman was sitting out in the parking lot and she couldn't get her car started, "Pop the hood, let's have a look-see." Now, that guy may not have known any more than Dave Damashek, but he still announced, "Pop the hood, let's have a look-see." Even when he opened it up, it just looked like a spirograph to him. It looked like he was looking through a kaleidoscope, like it was some 60s movie about drugs. But the point is he had a look. Not now the guy's like, oh my God, call AAA.
Pressing the OnStar button.
Yeah, keep pressing it over and over again. I don't know.
Working.
I'm fresh out of ideas. Yeah, with houses, with cars, with everything. You know, I mean, guys used to have, they do that thing, too, where some guy got into a scrape. "Oh, I was outside the concert. This guy knocked my beer all over me." "Oh, dude, I would have taken him down. I would have." Now guys are like, "Oh, man, I don't know what I would have done." You're announcing it? It's a hypothetical. You could say what you would have done to the guy. There's a lot of stuff like, I'll tell you what's wrong with that car. I'll tell you what you need to do in your house. I would have kicked that guy. I don't care about his buddies. I would have taken them too. Now everyone's just sort of announcing, I'm a puss. Please, world. Please. I'm a wuss. I want no part of anything. I don't do houses. I don't do anything. I don't do anything. And it's all worked out because you women, nobody sews anymore. Nobody cooks anymore. Nobody does any of that. The women stop doing their crap. We stop doing our crap. Eventually, we're all just going to have one scrotum and part of a vagina. And it's not going to be pretty. Labia majora on the right and saccus majora on the leftist.
One bosom.
One bosom. poorly formed bosom.
By the way, that raises an interesting thing. Why don't people, when asked ridiculous hypotheticals, when no one's, it's never going to actually happen, just go with the thing that makes you look better. Why do people answer it honestly? Hey, if Mike Tyson walked in here right now and said, he's going to kick my ass, would you step in and defend me? No. Why do you say? Just say yes. Just it's not going to happen.
Say yes.
So you look better.
That's right.
Of course I'd get in Mike Tyson's face for you.
That's right.
Right.
Rob?
You might get that chance.
You're a plumber?
Yes.
What's going on with the valve?
The valve. The only way you can get it out sometimes is cutting it out from the inside.
From the inside?
From the tile side. And what you could do is trace out your little space, which your gym plate is what it's called. A chrome hubcap. You're calling a hubcap.
They call the gym plate?
A gym plate.
All right.
And by the way, I'm a big fan of your show and your project show. And
thanks, Rob.
And the man show, by the way.
Thank you. So, yeah, you use that. You go by that plate in advance, and if you trace around it, you know if you go in a quarter inch in from that line all the way around, that's your maximum width.
That's exactly what you want to use.
All right.
A quarter of an inch, that's all you need. And they make them in different sizes if you have a single handle or a three-valve handle.
Right. They make the round ones, and they make the sort of elliptical football-shaped ones, too.
Right. That's exactly how it goes.
All right, Rob. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
Nothing like a pro to back you up. World's nicest plumber. Hey, Rob.
Nice meeting you, Sam. Yeah.
Rob, when you go into the house and they leave you alone in the house, you snoop around a little, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of want to see what they do and if they got any money laying around.
Yeah, you want to check the panty drawers, that kind of thing, right? Mementos, we call them in the business. I take a few mementos. Once in a while, you'd work on a house and there would be a hot chick who lived there oftentimes. You do get a little, you know, you're in the house. You're in the house at 7 a.m. and life goes on if you're remodeling the house, you know. Chicks getting ready for work, getting in the shower, getting dressed, you know, stay out of this place, stay out of that place.
Anything like that ever go down like you see in the movies? Like did anybody, any of these women, you know, play out some fantasy?
I work for almost all gay guys, by the way, who have all the horrible baggage of chicks emotionally, but none of the boobs. Hmm. It's the same thing.
So
the entitlement, the whole, what's going on? Oh! You know that thing? Like when they walk in the room? Well, I didn't ask to paint the room white. Yeah, that's just primer. So that's not the paint? No, that's just primer. So you're going to paint over it? Yeah, as soon as I'm done painting on the primer. Okay, well, let's do that. Okay. All right. That's what you get with the gay guy. And then you get that with the postmenopausal chicks, too. But here's the thing. One time there was, I hear tale, there was a, I didn't get to work on this job, but the other guys in the crew were on this. Or I worked on it later. There was a hot chick, hot daughter or something, and they somehow could see into the shower from up in the roof, the crawl space up there. So that was big excitement for the boys. Oh, and another time, there was a nude sunbather on the roof of one of the crappy buildings we were working on downtown. And we'd all scurry up to the roof via the fire escape and hide behind the little 3-foot parapet thing and poke our heads over, and we could see the neighboring building until one jackass just screamed. You know, this Cousin Sal type of guy. Like, everyone's like, shh, don't blow it. If you... She, of course, covered up immediately. guys are, you know, there's always... If there's seven guys, and they're blue-collar guys, and... you make the announcement, all right, everyone be cool, because let's not F it up here for all of, you know, this, we could ride this gravy train until we hit the grave. This is going to be awesome. There's always the one guy who says, however many boobies we get to look at, it's never going to live up to me screaming this one time and getting everyone PO'd at me. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. All right. So what are we going to do? We'll take a break?
Yeah.
We'll be back. Joe Rogan's in today. Dave Coulier. Chuck Liddell. Lightweight. I shouldn't say lightweight. I should say light heavyweight champion. Mike Ditka's calling in. Big show. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Oh, a little clash.
Kisses.
All right. A lot of show left. Joe Rogan is coming in here. Fear Factor, of course. Also, he does the announcing on the Ultimate Fighting Championships. This Chuck Liddell, light heavyweight, is going to be fighting this weekend. He's coming in here. This Ultimate Fighting stuff is really taken off. It was all the rage because it was sort of a novelty about 10, 12 years ago. Oh, they're going to let these animals go at it. And this is tantamount to cockfighting. And then it's sort of cooled down a little bit in the last few years. It's really been going crazy.
Well, it's due to the fact that Spike TV has a show called Ultimate Fighter. The mm-hmm. Ultimate Fighter, where regular fighters go in and try to win contracts. And that's how it became really huge.
No.
Yes.
Untrue. Untrue. It's due to the fact.
Ted Moonlight's at Spike TV, I guess.
No, I'm just saying.
I've watched the show. It's a good show, but that, you know.
When they had the live final for the first season, mm-hmm. it was one of their biggest. One of their biggest.
Yes.
Well, Spike TV and also
UFC. But if you're
UFC.
A real network, you kill yourself if you drew those kind of numbers.
There are at least 112 people watching.
Yeah, no, it's everything. I think people, you know, if people are going to enjoy boxing and they're going to enjoy football and they're going to enjoy roller derby and they're going to enjoy contact sports, then what's not to like about this one?
What's not to like about two men in skimpy outfits rolling around on the ground together,
yeah.
holding each other?
And because they look like Ted.
Groaning and grunting.
By the way, you say like skimpy outfits, like they have a plunging neckline.
Don't they?
No. They just wore underpants.
Aren't they?
They wear...
No, they're even more naked than I had originally hoped.
They wear those kind of underpants that are sort of like cycling shorts, and they're sort of like those midway briefs, too, which is, if you look good in them, you never look better, but if you don't, look out. You'd be better off in a thong or a banana hammock.
They should have them wearing the traditional wrestling outfits that, like, high school and college wrestling. Those things couldn't
look
more gay.
Well, because they could get the grab. I think there's too much to grab with that kind of thing. All right, Ted, let me give you a clue. Just because you raise your hand a tenth of a second before your mouth opens doesn't mean you get the green light to talk.
Sorry.
You understand?
Sorry.
Okay, but the hand did go up.
Yes.
But then the hand must be recognized.
I totally apologize for that.
All right, now stop. What are we doing here? All right, let's keep going. Our intern, Jaron, was helping us conduct a social experiment last week. I say the nature of man is good. I say that 99% of people are decent, and you don't hear about it in the news that much, and it's a multi-billion dollar business making society think that everyone wants to get them all the locks, all the alarms, all the protect this and ensure that, watch out. And then there's people that just sort of reinforce that, which parents that do that, I always think it's horrible parenting. You know, that sort of parent that says, hey, your job's to screw him because he's trying to screw you. You know that thing where people somehow justify or rationalize being a-holes because, hey, you do the same. You're trying to F me. I'm just getting you. I just beat you. You know, you were trying to stick it to me, so I got you first. Really? It's easy. It must be easy to sleep at night going through that, but I don't think most people are trying to screw other people. I really don't. I think it's horrible, that message of, he's trying to screw you, so you screw him. Whatever happened to morals and dignity? I think people are decent. I think if you drop a wallet or an iPod or cell phone and you have a number on it that says, if found, call this number, I think the phone will ring. We tried it 3 times with a wallet. We put cash in it last week. We had $100 2 times, and then we had $80. And each time, the first 2 times, the phone rang within 10 minutes after dropping the wallet. Right, Jaron?
Correct.
Now, don't agree with me just because I'll fire you if you don't. But correct?
That's correct.
That's right. Like a nice yes man. So you drop it, and then the other time we dropped it inside of Cantor's, the deli, and it got returned to, you know, Mabel, the bitter counter woman. And by the way, what happens to a woman? Where is that? When that? I just want to know. I just need a heads up. I need 6 months advance notice before my wife cuts all her hair off and starts putting her stupid opinion into everything and just getting surly. And, you know, when do women turn into badgers? You know, at a certain point, you know, that's, you know what I mean? It's somewhere around the time your hair gets short and you realize guys don't want to F you anymore, that you're just like, screw it, I'll put my 2 cents in and I'll just be a pain in the ass and you become one of my mom's friends. I heard you talking about fecal matter for 20 minutes the other day. I didn't talk about fecal. I heard it. All right. Listen, just because I don't want to F you doesn't mean you can be mean. let the message be put forth to the ladies. You know, just because we're not interested in having sex with you anymore doesn't mean you have to attack us verbally. All right. So, Jerron. Yeah, well, so anyway, she got the wallet, and she said she was going to call. She didn't take the money out of it.
Right.
And she didn't throw it away. And I do believe when she got a break, she would have called, or at least by the end of the day. Yes?
I'm a little more doubtful of that, but...
But the money was not taken out of the wallet, and once again, we got the wallet back.
Yeah, I think it's definitely two for two with maybe a push on the third one.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah.
So far, your experiment, you've been right. I mean,
right.
So far, people have been good. Two
right.
for two with a push.
Right. Now we up the ante. Jerron?
Yes.
This time, I want you to take the cash out of the wallet and flush it down the toilet. And let's see how long it takes before... No, I want you to go out and drop that wallet again.
All right.
Go find... I want to keep going with this. I'm very curious about it. Now, go... Here's the thing. If you go to the world's worst neighborhood, you're probably not going to get a phone call. Probably not.
How about
not.
This? Here's a suggestion to split the difference. The place down by the LAX... By La Tejera, you know, in Fairfax, if you know that area where I'm talking about, where the Magic Johnson Theater is.
Mm-hmm.
How about right there?
Mm-hmm. Why?
Englewoody.
Because there's people of color there, Dave. Do you think it's going to be a bigger challenge? I know where you're going.
All right, maybe.
It's a poor area.
I just want to say, it's a social experiment.
It's a poorer area than where we've been.
All right, but Jerron is a person of color himself, and if his people don't come through, he's going to be humiliated. Plus, I think he's going to try to help him out. Come on, bro. You're going to make us look bad. Come on, call it in. I'll give you 20 from my own wallet. I say, I don't want Jerron to go that. I don't want it to take that long. Figure out a 10-mile radius, or 10-minute, I should say, radius from here. Go ahead and pick a direction. Head south. Head a direction that's probably... Don't head toward Beverly Hills and don't head toward West L.A., but head south and drop it off somewhere. Find the usual thing. Find some traffic, but don't drive it. Don't drop it in a business, and we'll see if the phone rings. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you, Jerron.
Not a problem.
Nice work. I love Jerron. I like a guy who nods his head and says yes and is willing to do the work, but not too smart with his own crappy ideas that you have to pretend to listen to. Do you know how many years I have wrapped up in pretending to listen to people's ideas? Letting them coast to a stop? Putting in that word or that sound that lets them know that I'm not interested midway into their thing. I already have one of those, but okay, but they're going to keep going. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, I these things where people don't hear you talking. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. It's like somehow again, like you hear it most when you hear your buddies talking on the phone or somebody. When I used to work with Dr. Drew, he'd make these, I'd hear him on the cell phone with his wife. All right, then. Okay. Will do. Will do.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. And then once in a while, they get reengaged. Well, then Herta's just going to have to borrow the van for the weekend, and that's just how it's going to go. Okay. All righty. Okay, then. All righty, then. Okay. Will do. Okay. Well, now. Well, if the retainer is cheaper than the braces, then we go with the retainer. Okay, then. All righty. Okay. If you sit next to that person driving in a town car, driving from the airport to the hotel, and you hear about minute number 36 of, will do. Okay. I did grab the phone for him one time and go, please, just hang up. Please. I don't mind listening to your conversation, but this is no conversation. This is one person desperately clawing to get off the phone and the other person steamrolling them and ignoring them completely. I will kill myself if I get to the point in life where I ignore the, all righty then. Well, then, all right, then I'll, and here's the one. Here's how you know they want to get off the phone. Okay, we'll see you Saturday. And we'll see you then. Okay, will do. Okay, then we'll see you. Okay, then I'll see you. We'll talk again Saturday. All righty. Okay, will do. Too many affirmations. It's time to get off the phone. Yes? Anybody?
I hear your noise. I don't like, apparently you're more understanding about a random conversation on a cell phone. It drives me crazy. People say, what's the difference? It's the same thing as if I'm having a conversation. No, I want to eavesdrop on your conversation, and I can't do so
right.
when you're having a one-sided call. I hate when people laugh. And
yeah. Yeah. Here's the other thing about cell phones, which is kind of funny. It counts as a phone call, but not quite. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've been on a cell phone conversation just pumping gas. And people, hey, it's Adam Carolla. It's from the Man Show guy. Hey, do that thing where you pull the phone. Hey, how's it going? Hey, buddy, you think I could get... Hello, I'm on the phone here. I know there's no wire. But by the way, cell phones get ignored. I do really realize this. I go, here's the deal. If you walk into someone's office and that person's holding a phone with a cord and a little curly Q wire on it and stuff and he's on the phone. You walk in. Hey, Bert, you do that bow. My bad. And you slink out of, you back up. You walk right out of the office backwards. That's how you know you've effed up. You don't turn your back on the point. You walk out backwards and shut the door quietly. But if the same guy's on the cell phone, like, hey, Bert, want to talk to you about the Bukowski account? I'm on the... Yeah, okay, hold on. People will speak freely to you because there's no cord. I mean, it's not exactly... They acknowledge it a little. It's about half of a phone call. In people's minds. If you're at home and you just got that phone with the cord on it stuck to the side of your head, people walk in, they give you, oh, sorry, not going to say nothing. There could be, the barn could be on fire. Lassie could have just barked out that the kids have fallen in the well and they're still going to wait for you to hang up or do the hand thing. But if you're on that cell phone and you're out and about, people just start talking to you. Just start talking like you're not on the phone. It's about half a phone call. In people's mind. Same person, same thing.
Who are you talking to?
Oh my God. I've posed for pictures with people while maintaining the phone call and narrating what's going on. I'm taking a phone call. There's a guy with a NASCAR jacket. He wants to get a shot. Renee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're 12?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But
what's up?
Okay. Earlier you were talking about like how girls are always doing guys' jobs and guys are always doing girls' jobs, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm always kicking guys' butts.
Uh-huh. You're kicking guys' butts.
Yep.
Awesome. That means either you're going to be a super hot model who talks to Pat O'Brien about being a tomboy one day, or you just end up in the joint with track marks.
She's 12.
Well, that's why it's important to get to her early. This conversation wouldn't work when she was 22. She'd already be in the joint.
It's a critical juncture.
Right, Renee.
Yeah?
Stop beating up guys.
Well, some of them are scared of me, so I can't even get to them anymore.
Were there any violence in your home growing up?
No.
No? Where's your dad?
Out and about, like working and stuff. Why?
All right. Has he come home at the end of being out and about?
No.
No?
Then my uncle watches me.
Oh. That's a bad sign.
I just had a bad childhood with my mom.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take it out on the kids at school.
Oh, I don't.
Well, seems like you're beating quite a few of them up.
Why do you beat these guys up?
Well, I don't really do it anymore, because ever since I...
Yeah.
But,
Joe Rogan's going to recruit you for the Ultimate Fighting Champion. Girl style. That I would watch. Yeah. So, Renee, you had a tough childhood. Your childhood's been tough, right?
Not lately, but...
Earlier.
Yeah, before I moved back with my mom and came back.
All right. Now, how are your grades?
Okay.
Okay.
They have like 1B, that's it.
1B or 1D?
1D.
D.
D?
D, she said.
D? Renee?
Yeah.
You said D as in dog?
Yeah.
All right. And what do you want to do? Work with animals?
No.
What do you want to do when you're older?
I want to be a... singer.
The what?
A singer.
A singer?
A singer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've already called in once.
All right. Oh, you can sing for
Are
us.
Are you the one that sang the anthem?
Yes.
Oh, it's you.
It's
oh,
Renee
good.
Again.
All right, Renee.
How you doing? Wait, didn't you also ask us about advice with guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that turning out? You know, if they don't call you, don't
kick
go
their
call.
Ass.
No, yeah. Kick their ass. But don't go. They're pussies. You
yeah.
don't need to talk to a guy who's
talk
not going to.
Yeah.
Who's a wimp. If he doesn't have the cojones to call you, you don't want
That's
nothing
right.
to do with him.
Rachel Perry's dating Dan Haggerty. Mountain man. He's wearing pelts right now. He doesn't even have jeans. He wears pelts. It's
you,
awesome.
You really, I'll say this, though, Rachel. You're a great counselor for preteens.
Yeah.
The guys are pussies, and if they don't have cojones, well yeah. done.
Adam's telling her she's going to be in the joint with track marks.
Hey, scared straight. All right, now.
That's how I feel.
We got to break. Let's just.
The other straight.
We're going to weigh in. Oh, we're not going to weigh in Big Tad, but I just want to give people a heads up that he's got to lose 12 and a half pounds by Thursday. It'll have been a week by Thursday. He wins. He goes to the Rio, all sweet, and they spell sweet with two E's, sweet, hotel and casino in Las Vegas, and he's also going to hang around Scores, or no, where's he going? OG?
Yeah, he's going to go to Scores in Vegas, mm-hmm. and he's going to bring the perfect 10 girls with him. This
yeah.
is all if he loses 12 and a half pounds by Thursday. We gave him an extra day to lose it.
If he doesn't lose it, I get to shoot him in the belly with the paintball gun.
Right.
Yeah, and how could I miss?
Maybe Chuck Liddell could punch him in the stomach, too.
That'd be awesome. Be interested if he made number two and it was all bloody. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Aww.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Bad Religion. I like Bad Religion because everyone is a scientist in the band. They all have doctorates and stuff. We'll get those guys on the show. All right, where was we? Joe Rogan is going to be coming in here at... about 7:30. Also at Dave Coulier, Skating with Celebrities.
It's exciting.
On tonight. I'll tell you, I watch that show. I enjoy it. Chuck Liddell's going to be in. Light heavyweight champion fighting this weekend in the UFC. Also, Hall of Famer Coach Ditka calls in. He's going to weigh in on the Super Bowl this weekend.
Is Dave Coulier bringing his package?
I hope so.
That was on display in the last episode.
I don't know if he can transport it. I think it's like backyard fruit. You know, they stop you
it
along
have,
the
yeah.
border there in Nevada, and they don't let you transport the package.
It might yeah. have a heavier press schedule than Dave has, actually.
I saw it on ET this weekend, and then I knew it was going to be, I said it was going to be a Good Morning Fox show.
I mean, if Quentin wouldn't come in, I'm not sure if Dave Coulier's package is going to make it.
Yeah, Mike August booked one NAD. That's all. They couldn't get the entire package. Evidently, there's some infighting. In underpants fighting.
It's all a phoner, right. too.
It's a phoner. we have a song that somebody sent in about Big Tad that we thought was interesting. I don't know how we got it. How did we get it, Fresca?
It just is a first submission from a fan. It was nice. And we got it just in the mail. Just dropped in the mail.
If it's funny, or it's insulting, or both, we'll play it.
Yeah, let's play it.
Let's give it a listen. Big Tad.
Well, he hasn't got laid in 24 months. He's got man boobs and a big old gunt. Standing 5'11", weighing 400 pounds. The scales begging for mercy. His penis is shrinking down.
Big Tad. Big Tad. Big fat Tad. Big Tad. Brittany
he took him out, said he's a real nice man, but he lives with his mom and spends a lot of time with his hands. So damn big, he's got his own zip code, and when he takes a deuce, he breaks the commode, Big Tad. Big Tad! Big Tad! Big Fat Tad!
Wow.
That was great.
Cold ending.
Really nice. Impressive, yeah.
He had good times.
Oh, I'll tell you, Big John. Classic song.
Anyone who puts
60s.
Forth that much effort just to insult Fat Tad gets my vote.
Yeah, nice job. All right, if you want to send stuff to us, you go to adamcarolla.com. Does everyone know the WW part, or do you even have to do that anymore? Where are we at? Do you got to do the WW part and then the adamcarolla.com?
You know what? I don't think you need to.
Do you not need to do that anymore?
HTTP://.
I mean, is there... Is there not the WWW thing anymore?
I think it just...
Does it do it automatically?
Yes.
But then what about... How does it know the difference
don't
between...
Don't need
the,
WWW.
But then what about the government stuff or the nonprofit stuff or the whatever? How does it
that comes
know the
at
difference?
The end.
Ah. Oh, that's the .com part?
Right.
All right. No WWW anymore. All right. AdamCarolla.com is how you send stuff to us. CARROLLA. We'll take a break. We'll be back with news, sports, after this.
This is Dave Foley. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Joe Rogan is going to be in here in a couple of few. Dave Coulier. Hopefully with his package coming in. Formerly a Full House, of course, now skating with celebrities and doing a fine job, I might add. Obviously, the man has skated. It's one of these things when you're from Canada, you skate. There's not a dude from Canada that doesn't talk about skating, doesn't like skating, doesn't do skating. Everyone from Canada skates. I understand it, but does everybody? You guys have no gays? Do you know what I mean? Who don't want to play hockey? Like, there's stuff you do out here when you're from North Hollywood. Like, I'm from North Hollywood. Most, like, we have drinking. You know, that's what we would do. But there were still a handful of guys that just didn't like drinking. There was a handful of guys that didn't do whatever it is everyone did from that group. Is it possible to find a performer or an actor who grew up in Canada, who's male and straight, who doesn't skate? I've not met that. I've not
well,
met
that's
that
the beauty of it. You say if they're gay, you have both ends of the spectrum. They go into the figure
skating.
They
got the ice dancing,
right?
Yeah, no. Pretty much everyone in Canada grows up skating.
Is it a form of transportation? is that how it works over there?
I think it could be. I mean, snowmobiles are.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, shoes. And it's easy. And I, you know, this is why people do that. Oh, you can't stereotype. You can't. Of course, you can. This is exactly how you can stereotype. Nobody from Canada doesn't skate. We gotta get some brothers.
You just think they're all the gays.
We gotta import some brothers over there. I'll put an end to that skating.
Skaters with testicles are gays.
Yeah, all I'm saying, speaking of brothers, Jerron is on the phone. All I'm saying is does it have to be that predictable? Do you know what I mean? I don't think we have the equivalent of that here in the United States. Everybody from San Diego does this, or everyone from the United States does that. People are all over the map. We have too much ethnic diversity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jerron?
Yes, Adam.
Yes, you wouldn't skate if you grew up in Canada, would you?
No way I would.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Brothers don't skate.
That's right.
Anthony Carter.
Yeah. That's right. Like I said, if you can find one, the sales girl Brittany will have sex with him. All right, so, Jerron, you're out and about. You have a wallet.
Yes.
How much money is in the wallet?
By the way, it's $100, and it's, once again, my money.
It's, once again, your money.
That,
I thought
Busta?
We were going to spread it around.
This
I don't
man
know.
Has
I didn't
money.
See Dave jump into his wallet. I didn't see Rachel jump into her wallet. Definitely didn't see Ted jump into his wallet.
You didn't,
so.
You didn't bring it up, though.
Well,
did you?
He was on his way out, and he's like, I don't have money, so I just gave
him. All right, listen, I feel bad, Bruska. You're the producer. We're all talent, very talented talent, and you're a producer, so you got to do these things. But also, you got to put the onus on people.
All right, next
you
time,
did it,
Dave,
I did it.
Dave should do it. Maybe
Dave will do it
bucks.
Next.
We'll see.
We'll figure it out. So, Jerron, you have $100 of Bruska's money. We have it in a wallet. The wallet just has has a little paperwork in there, but nothing, nothing special. And then something that says, if found, please call, right?
Right.
All right. So you're going to throw it down now in the street?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do that.
Let's listen to it. I
do that.
Hear
yeah, I'd like
thrown.
To hear it hit the ground. Yeah.
Hear it?
All right. And no ice skating.
No ice skating.
All right, John. Check back with us. Keep us posted. Well, here's someone who lost two wallets in one day. Christine?
Yeah.
You lost two wallets in one day?
Yeah. Is it hard to believe?
Yeah. What happened?
Okay. We're at Magic Mountain, right? It was a while back. It was an eighth grade, end of the year field trip type deal.
Eighth grade?
Yeah.
What do you got? You have like a Hello Kitty credit card in there and a card from Subway? I'm just saying, in eighth grade, you can lose as many wallets as you want. You got nothing.
Yeah, but if you've got $20 in eighth grade,
yeah, but
you are...
a bankroll is so much less.
Yeah, I understand it's relative. You losing $20 in eighth grade is like losing $2,000 as an adult. But the biggest pain in the ass of losing the wallet is all, you know, the credit cards and the sort of identity stuff and the license and all that. You didn't have that. Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that's a pretty smart theory about what you're trying to do, putting out wallets and trying to see if, you know, people will take it or bring it back. But both times we found the wallets.
How did you find the wallet?
We were looking around like crazy, asking people if they'd seen it. And it was probably behind benches, or one was next to the trash can.
You lost it twice in one day?
Yeah.
The same wallet?
No, two different wallets.
You replaced the wallet in the same day?
Yeah.
And you were still at Magic Mountain?
Yeah.
Were you drunk?
Yeah. No, I was...
Pretty high.
Drunk. I was really forgetful back then.
Right. And now you're what?
I remember things a little more.
All right. How old are you?
I'm 21.
How's it going?
It's good. I haven't lost anything in about, I'd say, a good week.
What do you do for a living?
I work for a mortgage company.
All right.
Not a living. It's just part-time.
Yeah. Same here. You got a man?
Yeah, I do.
He treating you right?
Yeah. Mm. I'd say.
Mm. Are you pregnant?
Maybe.
You have any kids?
No.
Good.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yep.
Too young.
Don't lose that diaphragm.
Have you seen Dave Coulier's package? I think you'll dump your man as soon as you do.
On that reality show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I just received word, by the way, that he and his package are on the way. Both are coming, and they're driving a motorcycle with the sidecar.
Oh.
But what's interesting is that the package is driving. Coulier's in the sidecar.
Scarf, World War II aces, leather helmet on,
right.
And
goggles.
Right.
Awesome, like Snoopy. Okay, well, now it is time for us to do news with Rachel Perry.
ABC News anchor Bob Woodruff and his cameraman both suffered very significant injuries from a roadside bomb in Iraq. They were moved to a hospital in Germany this morning and are listed in stable condition. The body armor they were wearing likely saved their lives.
Mm. Is Bob... How old is Bob Woodruff? Is he the super old guy?
No, he's 42, 44.
Oh, Bob Schieffer, maybe I'm thinking of.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking of the other guy. In a related story, we've decided to send Rachel to Iraq.
Wow.
She's our
awesome
chief
stuff.
She's our chief news anchor.
She's a correspondent
right
over there.
Right.
Nice.
It's I'm doing it for the glory.
Yeah.
Really.
You wouldn't need to wear body armor. Just the body armor of the six guys that were on top of you over there constantly would be enough. You could use their body armor.
Yeah, I imagine that would
mm-hmm.
be excellent. I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has ruled out providing any financial aid for a Hamas-led Palestine and is attempting to convince other countries to do the same.
Yeah, it's crazy how much aid we give Palestine. Everyone always talks about how much we give to Israel. We give a ton to Palestine, too.
We give money to everyone.
Yeah, and they all hate us. It's just like my family. I would be the United States. They would be them. Their hand would be out, and they would hate me. That's how it goes. You do. It is true. You do hate the people you borrow the money from because it's a shaming experience. You have to put your hand out, and they hate them.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Did you see Family Guy last night at all?
Yes.
And he get, wasn't that, I was just thinking about how Stewie gave the money to Brian, or he won money from Brian in a bet or something and beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. You think about it, you do resent the person because they're a mirror that you're looking into, and you're reminded that you're not able to take care of yourself.
So,
and instead of turning in on yourself, you get angry and resent the person that gives you the money. It's an awesome strategy.
Do you beat the crap out of the people in your family who don't give you money back?
No, you can't bring it up.
Oh.
If you bring it up, they get angry. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Mount Vernon Middle School in Los Angeles was recently renamed Johnny Cochran Middle School.
Awesome. This is a great message.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Great message to send the kids.
And
awesome.
Interestingly enough, Robert Shapiro, who he also defended O.J.,
That's right. I know you were 9 at the time, so you don't remember.
Exactly. But
yes, there was a big trial.
Well,
everyone was talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was probably, high school or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's two companies right now that are attempting to commercialize brainwave lie detectors, and Robert Shapiro is an advisor to one of the companies.
Awesome.
Yes. And I know how you feel about that.
Well, I feel like the whole court system is corrupt and screwed up, and obviously, I don't know if you could put a percentage to it, but I would say if you have a ton of money, you're going to be in pretty good shape. No matter what allegations are leveled against you, if you can take enough money and throw it at enough people, and why shouldn't you? I mean, the Dardens of the world, the Marsha Clarks of the world, these people are civil servants. And these people are, a notch above the people you see behind the counter at the DMV. Those brain dead idiots. I mean, these are attorneys that are making 80 grand a year instead of, 180 grand or 580 grand or whatever. Obviously, they're not going to be as good. And I know everyone says, oh, come on, these guys are just doing the Lord's work and they don't want to work in the big law department. It's all some movie. Let's face it. OJ was able to afford much better, much more competent representation than the city was going to provide. I mean, that's the way it goes. So if you're rich, you can get off. You can get out. That's it. And if you're not, you're going to get screwed. That's why the poor guys are in the pokey. And as far as this thing where we can't improve on our system, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially, you ever hear these jurors? First off, who's going to jury duty these days? Unemployed idiots. I know everyone has this pie-in-the-sky idea about our system and about our society, but let's face it, you get that summons, you get out of it any way you can. I actually had my wife back over me just so I could get out of it. I laid down and told her back over me, and she's such a bad driver, she missed. Usually she hits me by mistake, but ironically, the one time I went to her actually run over me. But you'll get out of it, so what do you have? You bunch of guys that are excited about getting $9 a day and doing crossword puzzles at the courthouse.
I can't make it. The Dave Coulier's package fell on me.
That's right. Crushed. That's why you got to wear one of those medic alert things when Dave Coulier's package is around. You'll get trapped. You'll go down. So you can't get to the phone. Point is our system doesn't work. I say we work. And if it does, how expensive can it get with the countless and endless appeals? I mean, what this costs, think about what it costs the taxpayers. Forget about OJ's trial, just any trial.
Do you mean emotionally?
No, I mean fiscally, as Dave Coulier would say, is Popeye. I'm saying the judge, the bailiff, all the stenographer, the whole, just the building, just to keep the lights on at the courthouse. If we had a lie detector test that we could rely on, that we could count on.
Infallible.
Hey, even if it worked 98% of the time, that'd be much higher than what we have now. I mean, what do people think we have going right now in the court system? 65%, 75%? First off, all we would need to do is beat that number. And the ones that are in place now already beat that number. But if we put the world's minds and scientists, if we all got together and got a piece of technology, then that would be it. And it would be like the breathalyzer. Here's the deal with the breathalyzer. They pull you over. Big Tad, back me up here. They pull you over. They give you they say, we want to give you the breathalyzer. You say, I refuse to take the breathalyzer. They say, all right, get in the back of the squad car. We'll handcuff you. That's an admission of guilt. The fact that you won't take it means, well, obviously you've been drinking, Because if you just had a cappuccino, you'd be blowing that thing no problem. That's the thing. So this thing, too. You won't take the lie detector guilty.
I have rights. You don't have the right to ask me breathe into a
pipe. O.J. would have brought the thing to him. He would have never had to leave his house. We would have just gone through it with him immediately. They can still get to the punishment part of the whole thing, whether it's a capital offense or special circumstances or anything like that. But we'll find out whether you did it or not in the first 10 minutes. We don't have to have the news vans. We don't have to have the millions and millions of dollars of taxpayers' money. Not only that, but just knotting up the system. You have judges. You have attorneys. I mean, how much did that cost us, and how much did it clog things up?
And how much does it cost us every time some DNA evidence frees some guy who's been in jail for 20 years and now he's suing for $100 gazillion?
Let's just work out the lie detector, and we won't put you to death based on it. There'll be another system of hurdles to get over, a little fail safe, so we don't kill anybody we don't want to kill. But you get the lie detector, and that's it. If you said you fell down in the casino, lie detector. Anything. Boom. Hook you up. Boom. Done. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, why not? And it's satisfying, because there's nothing worse than either thinking, I wonder if that Klaus von Bierau, I wonder if he did actually kill OJ. I know that guy's guilty and he's out playing golf. There's nothing worse than that, and there's nothing worse than watching 2020 or Frontline or something and seeing some black guy who's in his 60s who's been in there since 1951, and it turns out they don't have any evidence against him, and the guy's rotting in prison. There's two horrible things as a society: thinking a guy did it and he's free, and thinking a guy didn't do it and he's in the joint. Now we know. He passed the lie detector. He's a free man.
I don't care about the people that are being, accused of stuff. It's all about me. I just want the closure.
I want to know for sure. Yes.
Get
OJ on the lie detector.
Get Michael Jackson on the lie detector.
Make it a pay-per-view.
I want to prove to those people releasing the doves.
Yes.
Michael Jackson, whatever.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
We are now just 6 days away from Super Bowl 40. Seahawks arrived in Detroit yesterday. Steelers on their way today. Talk a little bit more about that in a second. Baseball, the Padres have signed a guy named Mike Piazza to be their catcher next season.
Jimmy Kimmel's catcher.
That's right, and they say he can play as much catcher as he desires.
Wow.
NBA yesterday, the Suns got LeBron in Cleveland. King James goes for 44 to put down Phoenix. Kobe's 39, 10 too few. The Lakers lose in Detroit 102-93. Ron Artest and his new pals up in Sacramento lost to Toronto. College ball, 13th-ranked West Virginia State undefeated in Big East play behind Kevin Pitsnoggle. Kevin Pitsnoggle. Bad enough to lose, but the guy named Pitsnoggle. Downright embarrassing. Pac-10 over the weekend. UCLA, USC, Cal, all winners. Last night, Stanford dumped 9th-ranked Washington in overtime. Roger Federer won the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
And, here was his reaction. This was his 7th Grand Slam victory, and here was his reaction.
Last but not least, I would like to thank Rod Laver for trophy.
What do you think, Rod Laver?
Rod Laver, he gave him the award, the tennis legend gave him the award. But, Roger Federer, get it together, man.
Yeah.
It's tennis, and you're in Australia, no less. Who cares about this?
Yeah.
You know, in football, you don't see people behave like this.
No,
they
don't cry.
I appreciate so much.
Oh, well.
Our relationship.
If you're Dick Vermeil. Besides Dick Vermeil, then you do. But
we were talking about how funny it'd be if you were Dick Vermeil's family and he never cried at home. You played Dick Vermeil's son who just found out he had cancer.
A lot of great stuff going on with this Super Bowl. A lot of excitement. The Seahawks, as I say, took off for Detroit yesterday, but before they did, a rally in Seattle. And here's what QB Matt Hasselbeck said to the fans.
We love this town. We love Seattle. We love living here. We love our franchise.
There's only one thing missing in Seattle, though, and we all know what it is. I'm going to go get it done.
It's got to be weird for the folks from Seattle taking to the streets and not protesting the economic summit or chaining themselves to a bulldozer, you know, some sort of, there must have just been, half of them just must have been just stone hippies, sympathizers, thought they were taking the streets against the man.
Well, and they must have been confused, too. What is he talking about when he says this, too? He said, hey, there's only one thing missing. I don't know. Seattle, maybe someone up there knows what is specifically he's speaking of and could provide a phone call and hit me to what's lacking up there.
Well, I was looking. I'll tell you one thing that's lacking. I was looking at the USA Today snapshot, and it's doing a sort of City of Champions. The Pittsburgh area has 5 championships in baseball with the Pirates, 4 right. with the Steelers, and 2 with the Penguins.
Correct.
Of 11. Seattle, you know, it's you know you're scraping the barrel. They have 1 with the Supersonics and then 1 with the Storm. Storm, what's that, a soccer team? No, WNBA.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. not only do I say doesn't it count, it negates your, the one you have.
So there, yeah.
You're at 0.
Back to 0.
That's right. That's why I would like to see them win.
Well,
30 years in existence, the franchise without a Super Bowl trophy.
But they don't need it. It's a beautiful place up there.
Listen, the two
governors, here's all you need to know. Here's
that's
one
true.
Of the bets. The governors from Pennsylvania and Washington made their bet. Washington, they put up Copper River salmon. Delicious,
ooh.
You know.
Ooh.
You know, exquisite taste salmon.
Yeah.
The governor of Pennsylvania, Permanthi sandwiches, delicious sandwiches, but sandwiches nonetheless, deli meats,
yeah.
And some kielbasa, some tubular meats. Tubular meat versus Copper River salmon.
That is true.
You have all you need already, Seattle.
That's right.
You don't need
you
a title.
You lose Seattle, you get to go home to Seattle.
Exactly.
Pittsburgh loses, they go home to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Yeah, number one, baby. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Joe Rogan is supposed to be in here.
He's close.
Not seen him yet, but he's coming in. Also, the guy who wrote Big Tad's song is on the blower. Dave Coulier in his package. He's skating on by. Chuck Liddell, ultimate fighting champion, light heavyweight. Also, Hall of Famer Coach Ditka on the blower.
Ooh la la.
So, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla right now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Joe Rogan in the studio. Good to see you, Joe.
Good to see you too, man. What's going on?
Joe, a lot of stuff to cover with Joe. Some UFC stuff, some car stuff, some general stuff. Joe does the announcing for the UFC. And we've heard this story about you and Wesley Snipes getting into the octagon.
Apparently he's backed out.
Smart.
He backed out 4 or 5 days ago.
Smart.
So, yeah. Shocker.
I would have a catch-22 if I was agreeing to enter the octagon with anyone, which is anyone who agreed to do it, I would then back out. That's how it would work.
I think that's basically his strategy.
Yeah.
He wanted to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme. That was his initial idea. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, and they said, no one's going to care. Would you be willing to fight somebody else? And he said, sure, I'll fight anybody. And they said, how about Joe Rogan? And he said, yes. And then they called me up, and they said, do you want to fight Wesley Snipes? And I thought about it, and I was like, all right. Yeah, why not? You only live once.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And then when I heard that, I would back out. That's my strategy.
Well, it was for like 2 months of, trailing me around.
I think the Jean-Claude Van Damme thing would be an interesting bout. I would pay money for that.
Definitely. No slight to you.
No,
either
no
way. Snipes
you,
versus Rogan, Snipes Van Damme, either way.
Yeah.
We're all winners.
I would watch it.
Yeah, I'd watch anything.
I'd watch two lawnmower guys fight in the street. I don't care.
It's good. John, by the way, Joe was, I was just reading here, I knew this, but was a Taekwondo champion for 4 consecutive years. At age 19, he won the U.S. Open Taekwondo Championship.
Wow.
And he beat the middleweight and the heavyweight guy. He was fighting as a lightweight. What is the lightweight at Taekwondo?
It depends on what organization, but back then it was 154 pounds.
Wow.
There was only 3 weight classes. One was 154, the next one I think was like 185, and then it went unlimited.
And your dojo was Cobra Kai? John Kreese was
your
sensei?
There's a real good dojo that's Cobra Kai.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a guy named Mark Lehman out of Las Vegas. He's one of the best jiu-jitsu instructors in the world, and he calls his place Cobra Kai.
Huh.
I like that because he's. He does it just for a goof, you know.
No mercy, finish him.
That's my favorite scene. I have many favorite scenes from that movie, but my favorite is when they're all just practicing at the dojo, right. And they go. The two guys get up and they hop into the ring. You can always tell the bad guy because the bad guy doesn't bow. He just looks at the other guy in a menacing way.
Like plus, he has a sleeveless gi.
Off the gi, and the good guy will always bow, but the bad guy just gives him the stink eye. He doesn't bow. But they're fighting at it at the gym at Cobra Kai, just the two students, and the one guy flips the other guy, then throws like the strike to his sternum, and the crease leans over him and yells, "Finish him! Finish him!" At the dojo? Like, I was picturing him just picking up a copier machine and slamming it down on the guy's spine.
Those shows are so great. Those movies. You ever watch Walker, Texas Ranger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how good is that?
It's all good.
Nothing better when I'm baked and I'm flipping through the channels and I catch Walker, Texas Ranger. It's like Roadhouse and Walker, Texas Ranger. Those are the two best things to find when you're stoned at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I just watched Roadhouse last weekend. I watched Roadhouse and Red Dawn.
Oh, my God.
What
a weekend. Dawn's good, but not as good as Roadhouse.
Not as good as Roadhouse.
Dude, Roadhouse is one of the greatest movies. Pain Don't Hurt.
It also...
he said Pain Don't Hurt.
I know.
Get that on TiVo.
He's getting staples in his side.
Yeah.
Hot Pumpkin Doctor.
How about the fact that he's the bouncer, but everybody in the town like is into hanging out with him? Even the rich guy like has him over his house while he's eating lunch, you know, the evil rich guy.
It's not a movie. It's a film. It's also, my wife knows it is code when I want to masturbate. I'm watching Roadhouse. She always knows it's time to clear out. If any guy wants a little alone time, just TiVo. Get a few movies TiVo'd up. Get Roadhouse, get Point Break, and get Red Dawn. Get those loaded up in the TiVo. If you need the old lady to head upstairs and clear out, you just fire up one of those. Immediately, they jump right up and go scurrying out of the room.
It's interesting, by the way, that you pointed out Swayze's Holy Trinity there. Yeah. Point Break, Red Dawn, and Roadhouse.
Oh, it really is. Yeah.
Point Break is actually not a bad movie, though.
No, it's good, but it'll still get any woman out of the room. Not as fast as Roadhouse does.
Keanu Reeves keeps them around a few extra minutes.
That is true.
Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
It might frustrate you. You're better off just going with Roadhouse.
I love, you know, the cornerstone to all bad movies is when somebody shouldn't recognize you, recognizes you, like when they do that, "I know him, he's the best bouncer." And then, really? Yes. You recognize a bouncer?
Nationally renowned for his skills as a bouncer.
Right.
Yes. Hey, cooler. Yes.
Right. I like when the stoner at the beach... In Point Break does that. "Hey, that's Johnny Utah. I saw you playing in the Cotton Bowl in 1984. Really? With the helmet and everything. You recognize the guy? So Joe is going to be announcing the UFC battle between Chuck. Who's in that?
Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell, who'll be in here.
Chuck's right out there.
Or maybe
right
he is in here. And they're two, they split one. This is the rubber match,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who do you like?
You know what? As the commentator, it's probably not a good idea to say who I think is going to win. But it's, in all fairness, they're very evenly matched in different ways. You know, they have different different skills and different experience levels. And I don't know what's going to happen.
It's going to be
a crazy fight.
Is there a lot of money wagered on these fights? I never really thought about it, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of money on it. Yeah, there's a line on it. I don't know what the line is right now, but it's pretty even. I mean, everyone that I've talked to, every expert says it all depends on who learned the most from the first two encounters, who's adjusted the most, who. And
normally, I put the money on the guy named Chuck if he's going up against Randy,
especially if he's in here,
especially if he's in the green room. But Randy's one of those names; it's feast or famine. 9 out of 10 Randys you could kill, but there's the one Randy who's scary.
Couture is a really unbelievable human being. I mean, the guy's 42 years old.
Really?
You know, yeah, and he's been a wrestling competitor his whole life, and he's been doing mixed martial arts since probably about 96, I think, was the first time that I ever saw him fight. And he's getting better every year. I mean, he still trains with the top young guys that are in their early 20s, and he destroys these guys. I mean, I talk to him all the time.
What guys are the rules? There's a couple things you can't do, basically.
There's a lot of things
rules,
you can't do,
right?
Now.
No gouging?
No hair pulling. You can't kick a guy in the head when he's down. You can't knee him in the head when they're down. You can't stomp him.
No stomping.
But in, you know, other organizations that's legal.
There
like
is stomping.
In Japan, that's like a big point of contention. Like, what are the real MMA rules and why can't you do that? You know, if you look at Japan, in Japan, you're allowed to soccer kick a guy in the head when he's down. You're allowed to stomp. You're allowed to do anything.
Fighting?
No, no biting.
No biting.
Biting is
wow. Scratching.
Biting is considered
slapping.
Crease.
Bitch slapping.
Yeah,
bitch
slapping is. Yeah, you can bitch slap a guy.
But there's probably more. I mean, it sounds frightening and brutal, and it is. But you probably end up doing more damage to your bean just putting the gloves on and boxing, right? I mean, you
yes.
see some of these
yes.
guys.
That's a very good point.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you see these guys. You know, Arturo Gatti is fighting. It's the 11th
right,
round.
Right,
his
right,
head
right.
has been hit by guys that hit for a living
exactly.
827 times. I mean, there's going to be damage done as opposed to getting your shoulder dislocated,
well,
getting your nose broken, but it's the repetitive
damage,
stuff.
Exactly. The real damage is not the blow that knocks you out. One punch that knocks you out is going to, basically, you know that. You've boxed. It slams your jaw into the nerve behind your brain, and you shut off. And that's all that happens. You have a concussion. There's a huge difference between that and the continual battering that guys take, you know, for 12 rounds, which
right.
is why they're 12 rounds now, because it used to be 15, but dudes were dying, like, the 13th and 14th round, you know? So
yeah.
Now,
if Muhammad Ali had just been knocked out
yeah.
each time, you know, Joe Frazier hit him or Foreman hit him or whoever, he'd probably be fine today.
Yeah.
He'd be teaching
exactly.
a calculus at Stanford.
The real problem is the battering that they take over long periods of time.
Right.
You know, it's in Ultimate Fighting, you have options. I mean, people look at it as a more brutal sport, but it's actually much more intelligent. I mean, if you get hit with a punch, you have the option of taking a guy down. You know, you can try to bring the fight to the ground if you have skills in that area. So it's like the more well-rounded person, the person who has the more options has, the better chance of winning.
Yes, you must be a Renaissance man in
yeah,
the ring.
Which is why a guy like Randy, who's 42 years old, is still super competitive and still beats all these young guys. I mean, because he's got skills in all these different areas. He's not just dependent on reflexes and speed and just youthful athleticism.
Joe Rogan in studio is going to be at the Mandalay Bay February 14th at the House of Blues. I should say 4th. Right after the big fight, Chuck Liddell is waiting in the wings. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. We have more fun in store after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yep, 866-901-ADAM. Chuck Liddell, Ultimate Fighting Champion, is in studio. Going to be fighting February 4th this weekend at the Mandalay Bay. Joe Rogan in studio. Joe does the announcing for the UFC. Also, Joe is going to be at the House of Blues in Vegas that very night. What a night for Joe Rogan. Chuck, I've been worse for Chuck. I was trying to think. I would be nervous as hell if I had to go into the octagon this weekend. Is it easier on the nerves fighting a guy you fought two times previously rather than a guy you've never fought before?
I get better every time I fight somebody or every time I train with somebody, but I don't usually get nervous before fights anyway. I enjoy the getting out there and fighting. The hard part's training, getting there.
But walking into the octagon, no nerves.
Oh, not at all. I love it. I love getting out there.
Scary.
That's the worst thing anybody could ever hear if they want to fight him.
I know. he's enjoying. He goes, even if you win, you still don't take any satisfaction knowing he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you split. This is the rubber match with Randy Couture, right?
Yeah, it is.
And now they're going to, Big Tad says that Big Tad, the huge man behind you, is a huge UFC fan. As am I. I watch The Ultimate Fighter on Spike religiously. California is going to sanction its first fight. Is that true?
Yeah. it's coming soon. It was
April.
Yeah,
Anaheim Pond.
Do they have the mark? Do they have the bill set up yet?
Yeah,
do they know who's
yeah.
doing it?
They don't have the fight card set up. I don't think they're working on it right now. It's not solidified, but yeah, it's going to be in April.
Wow. I hear Wesley Snipes is going to go at it with Coulier's package. That'd be a marquee one there. So you won't have to travel out of town. You won't have to go to Vegas.
It'd be interesting. Well, I like going to Vegas.
It's one of these things where you figured it would happen eventually. I mean, everyone was in an uproar about it a few years ago. Oh, it's cockfighting. It's whatever. But that it's relatively safe. I mean, there's blood flying, but it's relatively safe, right? I mean,
well, if you have problems with contact sports, I mean, it's
There's
going to be sport. There's going to be some injuries.
There'll be a week. Any given weekend in football, there's far more injuries.
Definitely.
There's only been one death ever attributed to MMA, and that was a guy named Doug Dredge, who fought in Russia in an unsanctioned tournament, who had a previous condition. He had a medical condition. Like, he was passing out in training. Something wrong with him.
He was allergic to knees to his forehead. There was this pre-existing medical condition.
Like we said before, it's much safer because you have options. In a boxing match, you can't even clinch. You know, you get rocked in a boxing match, you try to clinch, they'll disqualify you.
And it's the accumulation talked about. Yes. All the guys who have long-term problems, or the guys who just die in the ring, it's accumulation of punches that do it.
Yeah.
So this is not that. And by the way, Chuck, what is the best? Like, what do you think would work the best in the street? The grappling or the punching? Kicking.
You're talking to the striker over here, so I think striking works in the street the best. You got to watch it, especially since you got a lot of guys. But you got to be able to stop wrestling. In the street, you're looking at guys hitting you, other guys jumping in, and you never know who's going
to... When you say striking, you mean just punch people in the face, is what you mean?
Punching, kicking,
no,
elbows.
No, he means making up signs and picketing
striking
in front of the building.
Punching, kicking, elbows, headbutts, whatever.
Chuck is one of the most dangerous guys because he's not just a great striker, but he's also a great wrestler. So he decides where it goes. Yeah. If he wants to take you down, he can take you down. But if he wants to stay up, you can't take him down.
You think you could take Tad down?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, screaming. Tad. Have some self-respect.
What's the best place to strike a guy? Right on the button, right on the nose?
The elbow is a good spot to aim for.
Yeah, right? Hit him in the head. That'll work.
But, I mean, right on the nose?
Here's what I say. You sweat on the mat or you bleed on the street. Kreese never said that.
Finish him.
Kreese wants him to finish it. Would it be funny if he put his hand down his pants? No! Oh, you sick ass. I don't mean finish him like a prostitute. Oh, please. Let's start doing push-ups. You make me sick. Yeah. I was thinking about getting some of those Chuck Norris stretch jeans, you know?
Those are hot.
Because I like to use my feet.
Like, those look good. The lace up front like a sneaker.
I like to wear the cowboy boots but kick a guy in the head. Yeah, I just remember looking at magazines from like the 70s or 80s. Chuck Norris had like stretch jeans that he would sell.
They had a gusset in the crotch so that you could throw head kicks.
Yeah, Chuck, you need...
Everybody knows that comes up.
Oh, and especially when you're wearing those cowboy boots.
Hell yeah.
Chuck, have you ever
tried to kick in cowboy boots?
Yeah, you don't... The plant foot goes out. I think I've seen you do an endorsement for like energy drink or something like that, right?
Is
that...
Zion's a supplement.
Right, right. Any other? Is Madison Avenue come calling? Or is it just a matter of time before they get on board, the Cokes, the Pepsis, things like that?
I'm guessing it's a matter of time. The bigger the sport gets, the more the people are going to come to get sponsors.
And how about the money? Because what you guys do deserves a payday every bit as much as boxing does. And boxing, it's into the millions of dollars oftentimes.
That would be nice.
It would be nice.
But we're getting a lot. We're getting paid a lot more than we used to, so I'm not really complaining too much.
Do you get a taste of the pay-per-view? Is there any? Is that worked in your contract?
Yeah, it depends on the person's contract, but some people, yes.
You? Are you one of those people?
Yes, I'm one of those people, yeah.
So it behooves you to come on radio shows and talk about it.
Yes, no, he likes you. Yes, yes.
All right, well, I will give you a big fat plug. And you can do the pay-per-view anytime until now, till the beginning of the fight, yes?
Right, yeah, from what I...
Or if you're stupid after the fight, it doesn't matter.
After the fight, I think they do have replays and stuff. Yeah. You can still watch it if you miss it.
That is February 4th at the Mandalay Bay. In Las Vegas, Chuck's going against Randy. And like I said, if you can't beat a guy named Randy, it's time to hang up your super tight cycling short things you wear. And Joe Rogan, of course, is going to be calling the fight and then at the Mandalay Bay at the House of Blues that night. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be right back after this.
I'm Andy Dick, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. And I have a little FYI. I was conceived in a Corolla, not Adam Carolla.
866-901-ADAM. Julie is on the phone. Julie says she was nude in Point Break and Roadhouse.
Yeehaw!
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Well, I'm driving in my car and I'm listening to you talk about two of your favorite movies were movies that I happened to participate in, and I thought, I just have to give him a little ring since he's talking to all these fighters and I'm known for fighting, especially in the nude. I'd like to see those guys get in the ring the same way.
Yeah, me too. I mean, no way, dude. That's gay. Julie?
You get a lot more girls watching, though.
Yeah. Wow. Julie, how old are you?
How old am I?
Well, listen, we can do the nude Point Break math if we have to. Don't make us. And Roadhouse. Was Roadhouse and then Point Break?
Yeah, Roadhouse is first.
Yeah, just a year or so? I mean, what's
yeah, they're,
what's much?
They're about a year apart.
Whoa. Which one were you?
Ooh, yeah, that word.
Yeah. Let me explain something, everybody. Here's how you know you can't say the S word on the radio or the F word. How many times, close your eyes and think, how many times, beside last week when we left the mics up and Damashek screamed the F word into the microphone and got up, other than that, intentionally, how many times have you heard the S word on the radio or the F word just conversationally? If it was allowed, don't you think it would be every second word out of my mouth? It would be SF, 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 and then every once in a while I mix it up by going FS, and then FFS, and then MFS, and then I would start combining them. That's how I would do it. There would be no content in the show. What little content we have would be removed by and replaced with MF and S. So you can't say the S word on the radio, and if you do think you can't say something, don't shout it out and then say, can you say that?
I thought the rule was always to do things first and ask questions later.
That's normally my rule, but when you're asking, it's a bad idea. Like, don't punch someone in the face and then say, can I do that? Just ask first. The answer will probably be no, unless you Chuck Liddell. Julie.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it sounds like the wheels have come off your wagon a little. You sound a little nutty.
I'm a little nutty?
Yeah, right.
Goodness.
Okay, good nuts. Good nuts, by the way, is only good for you nuts. It's not good for anyone else. Not your kids, not your parents, not society. But it's good for you, right?
I don't see why not.
Okay. And so you were one of the ones in Point Break who was like in the house.
Correct.
Who was in the kitchen.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow, feisty.
Yeah, fights are my thing. I'm trained by Sensei Benny Urquidez.
Sure, oh. Benny the Jet Urquidez.
Benny the Jet.
Yeah, over at the Jet Center in Van Nuys.
That's right. Well, he's no longer in Van Nuys. Now he's in North Hollywood.
I'm hip, though.
Yeah.
I used to go there many years ago.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, you probably don't know this, but I actually met you at your house about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah,
what?
I actually helped put that fight together at your house.
Oh.
I was a little blonde walking around that you ignored.
Mm-hmm. You sure you didn't drop off some food?
Nope.
Hmm. Well, there's a fight at my house.
What?
Oh, that fight.
For the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Right, for the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah.
That's right. So we choreographed a little fight thing there. Well, that was probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago. That's confused. And I have so many homes, I never know which one you're talking about.
And so many fights.
Well, it could have been in Saint-Tropez. could have been anywhere. So, Julie, and then you were naked also in Roadhouse.
In Roadhouse. Correct.
The pool scene, which scene?
I did the dance in the bar. I was Ben Gazzara's girlfriend.
No way!
Yeah.
The blonde.
Ooh la.
Yeah.
The hot blonde that looks like the third Lander sister.
And you ignored this woman walking around your house?
I didn't recognize you. You should have told me. Your hair's different.
You were so busy. All I want to do is help you with this fight and make it great. So.
But the one with the ample bosom who hopped up on the table and was doing her thing, right?
Had it bad for Dalton.
Bad for Dalton.
On the stage, when I was on the one on the stage.
Oh, the one on the stage toward the end.
The one that got beat up over it.
Yeah, yeah. Hot. Yeah, I like the, and I, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know how it works, but maybe it's just your formative years or whatever, but I love that 80s look.
Yeah.
The big hair and the whatever, the, just however the bikinis
used
were
to call
cut.
It helmet hair.
Yeah, helmet hair, just all that. It worked. Oh, and you had serious blonde helmet head.
Yep. Definitely.
Hot. Yeah, but for making that dance with Dalton, Brad Wesley smacked her around, but good. She had the big black, black eye for me.
Wow. Yeah. You know, Julie, I don't want to get Dave into trouble, but you know, every guy has a list, you know, of guys that, were the old ladies okay with you being with? You know what I mean?
Okay.
If I ever meet Angelina Jolie and she agrees to lay down with me, my wife just has to stand back and watch. Even help. Hey, hand me that towel. Come on, get the forehead. I'm fogging up here. I can barely see. Come on, let's go. Focus now. I need that. Dave, for Dave, it's you.
Oh, wow. Right on, dude.
Yeah. So we might be able to arrange
something. How say
you? How say you?
I say, hey, man, why not?
All right.
I say nude.
Yeah. Hi, Julie. Call in whenever you want. I didn't know I was in the presence of royalty when I saw her a few weeks back.
She was just one of the random floozies jumping nude into Brad Wesley's pool. This is his number one lady.
Yeah, without that huge hair.
That's how they do it. They take down the hair and then they walk amongst the people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when the king just puts on the clothes of the peasants to go out to see how he's doing. All right. Jerron is giving us a wallet update. Jerron?
Yeah, Adam.
What's happening?
All right, for the longest time, people were just stepping over the wallet.
Wow.
Stepping over the wallet.
Yeah, for the longest time they were, and then finally a lady picked it up about 20 minutes ago now.
Mm-hmm.
She carried it for about a half block before she just threw it in the street.
Into the street?
That's weird.
She had to go chase it.
Well, she didn't open the wallet?
She looked in it and saw the money and everything, and then she just tossed it into the street after she was done.
Did she take the money out?
Nope. Left the money inside the wallet.
What a weird thing to do.
That is random. I'm wondering, with all the shows on, all the hidden cameras and all the punk shows, I'm wondering if people think something's up. You know what I mean? Like I had some gangbangers break into the house over the weekend. Legitimate gangbangers in a takeover type situation. I was laughing the whole time. Come on, Kim will put you up to this. It took them stabbing my wife for me to really realize that, hey, maybe, just maybe, there's something going on. I'm still looking for Kimmel in the camera. So I don't know if you can do anything anymore without people suspecting that Ashton Kutcher is nearby. All right, so you got the wallet back.
Yes.
So somebody picked up a wallet, opened it up, didn't take the money out, and then threw the wallet out.
Into the street.
Wow. All right, Jerron, keep going, would you please?
Not a problem.
Thank you. Oh, Jerron. Yes. Jerron has the greatest cell phone in North America. It sounds like he's standing next to you. Everyone else like... Jerron's just like he's standing here. Maybe he has a magnet in his head. Maybe there's something going on with Jerron's head. I want to talk to his dentist. I'm going to use him like an antenna. All right. Ready to do some news?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel Perry with the news.
Well, first of all... Speaking of Roadhouse, ooh. I go to the same coffee bean every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Anthony Kiedis getting a coffee. Last weekend, I saw Mila Kunis.
I think you're talking Point Break with the
What did I say?
Said Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, I meant Break. Point Break.
We're there.
No, speaking of Roadhouse, I saw Anthony Kiedis this weekend.
And it reminded you of Point Break.
And it reminded me of Point Break, exactly. Because they have the same thing. Anyway, that baby that was found floating in a garbage bag in a lake in Brazil was rescued and is in good condition. The mother was arrested, denies throwing the baby in the lake, though. She says she merely gave it away to a group of homeless people because she couldn't afford to take care of it.
Sure. Yeah. They'll do that thing they do with their dogs. They put a bandana around it and drag it around town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she obviously is not homeless.
Mm.
And couldn't afford to take care of it, but decided that some homeless people could.
And they floated the baby in a bag in the lake.
And apparently there was a piece of wood in the bag that's prevented it from...
I think that baby Moses thing has sent a lot of people in the wrong direction. Yeah, put the kid in a wicker basket, throw him in the lake, he'll be fine. He'll be the king of the Jews. I don't think this kid's just, shut up, get the bag.
That was creepy, though. You saw it in the news, and they're, like, poking at the bag with a stick.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see that. It's usually that kind of stuff happens in this country. I'm glad to see it goes on in all countries.
Yes, excellent. We're all the same. We're all the same people,
cannot
really.
Cannot judge.
Yeah.
Cannot judge.
The city of L.A. has sued the makers of Grand Theft Auto for failing to disclose hidden sex scenes in the game, which is actually marketed towards children.
Yes. The child's mind is so precious. It's a beautiful, sterile environment, and with all the blood and guts pouring around in it, you don't want to soil it with any nudity or sexuality.
That's
a good point, because you don't want your kid growing up and having sex. Sends a dangerous message. You do want him, you know, beating the crap out of store owners and spraying their guts all over the place. But you don't want them having sex. I agree with that.
Unless it's with the Roadhouse girl.
Yes, with the blonde helmet. Yeah.
The 12th annual, was it 12th? I might have written that down wrong. But anyway, I just give you the news. I don't really research it. Anyway, the SAG Awards were last night. The honors for the actors, by the actors. Of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman won Best Actor for his role in Capote. This is him thanking the actors.
And the actor goes to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
This is nerve-wracking. I want to thank the Guild very much for this honor. It's a huge, huge, huge honor. And I just was watching these clips, and I love actors, too. And everyone's been saying that tonight. And I have loved the performances of these actors for a long time.
So generous.
You guys are fabulous.
Fabulous.
And I wanted to talk about my Capote family, because that's really what we are.
Is he talking about his penis or something cool? Yes.
Actors can't act alone.
He's welling up. Oh, wow, hear that.
Except if you're doing a solo performance or something, but it's pretty impossible. And
then makes a joke, relieve the tension.
And what we have to do is support each other, and competition like this sometimes is tough, because really what we need to do is support each other.
Right, everyone's
and
a winner.
Actors have to have each other's backs.
You've got to cover each other, No, because it's tough out there when you're only making $3-4 million a picture.
Well, it's the only way to act well is when you know the other actor has your back.
Yeah.
And these actors had my back, and I hope they know that I had theirs.
What does he mean by that?
Well, I was acting.
This is one of those gay movies, too.
I did a movie once, and I started acting with some folks. I didn't know them very well. And before you know it, one of them hit me with a lamp. And it was a love scene. And obviously it wasn't in the script, so obviously you got to watch yourself. You're entering the octagon. It's courageous, but you have to act.
Well, listen. Yeah, of course, the story of the day, these times we live in, you hear a lot about what's going on over in Iraq and what our brave soldiers are doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tip of the hat to them for sure.
Pales in comparison.
But the courage it takes to perform.
A lot of guts. Yeah,
you know?
To get up there and act.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to take chances.
Well, I'll tell you, it was tough. When I was acting, I would take the role home. Actually, from the craft service table, I would actually take roles home. But I would actually take the character home. I didn't like what I saw some mornings when I woke up.
There are a lot of nights when you take that character home. Not a comfortable seat to be sitting in.
Not comfortable. No, didn't feel good in that skin. But you have to do it. Yeah, these people are heroes.
Yes, they are.
Courageous.
Yes, they are. Well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now. Mm.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
It's Super Bowl week. Super Bowl 40, just 6 days away. Seahawks already in Detroit. The Steelers on their way there as we speak.
You're going, yes?
I'm on my way. I have booked fare. I will be there to wave my terrible towel.
Wow.
And hopefully it will rain all its magic down upon the Seahawks. The terrible towel is poised to strike. And so are the Steelers.
Wow.
I'll get back to that in a minute. NBA yesterday. Suns top by Cleveland. Kobe and company lose at Detroit. And Ron Artest and his new pals lose up in Toronto. Pac-10 ball over the weekend. UCLA, USC, Cal, all winners. And last night, Stanford dumped ninth-ranked Washington in overtime. Roger Federer wins the Australian Open. And in baseball, the Padres have signed a guy named Mike Piazza to be their catcher next season. They say he's allowed to catch as much as he wants to. And he held a press conference right after the signing. And here's what he said about his new town.
I can't wait to put on the San Diego Padres uniform. And speaking of uniforms, I hear there are all sorts of Navy boys running around in those cute little white outfits. Ooh la la.
Mike Piazza.
Sound like Charles Nelson Reilly. It didn't sound like Mike
I never
Piazza.
Noticed that, but now that you say that.
Usually, you know, as we've learned from doing this radio show, when you're watching somebody talk, it's totally
big,
different.
Big, strapping guy with the mustache.
Yeah, just hearing it isolated, just the audio isolated, really conjures up imagery.
Yeah, it's interesting. But back to the big story, the Super Bowl, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. to talk, we've been talking about, you know, Seattle. Listen, it's a great place to live, beautiful place, wonderful foods, exciting art scene, you know. Pittsburgh has the Steelers.
Space Needle.
thank you for helping my point.
All right.
They have a lot is what I'm saying.
They got plenty.
The people of Pittsburgh have one thing. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's all they got.
That's what we have, and this is why we need the win. Let me show you the level of commitment. Just south of Pittsburgh, there's a town called Washington, but it's not Washington anymore. They've changed the name to Steeler. Steeler, PA. That's commitment. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's something a little strange. You know, everybody has to make their bets on the Super Bowl. Governors, mayors. We're going to talk to the mayor, as a matter of fact, later this week of Seattle, which should be exciting. But apparently, the directors of both cities' operas have made a bet, too. And get a load of this. Whoever loses has agreed to wear the T-shirt of the other team for a whole week.
Wow.
Delightful. Everyone's in on the act. Wow. But listen, here's the big thing, is that we got 6 days away. Tomorrow should be an exciting day with the media day, with all the interviews. Then it's time to get down to business. Mm. And when we do that, Coach Cower and company shall prepare to climb back to where they rightfully belong, atop the football world.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, I look forward to the last-minute stabbing of somebody by their wife, and then the speculation as to whether they can play or not.
God willing, it'll be a Seahawk who does that stabbing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we look forward to more reports from you and going to the big game. Exciting. You leave Friday?
I leave Friday, right after the show.
Wow. It's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. The Hall of Famer, Mike Ditka. Coach Ditka's on the blower. We'll talk to him. Also, Dave Coulier is coming in from Skating with Celebrities, and he brought his package. So get an extra set of headsets in here, Braska. Package is coming in. We'll be right back after this.
Steph Rock Guy, give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. Dave Coulier and his package are ready to go. Coach Ditka is on the blower. Ditka's not a kind of guy you feel comfortable putting on hold for extended periods of time. Mike?
Hi, how you doing?
How are you, Coach Ditka?
Good, I'm doing good, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, giving us a little update. Possibly some prognosticating on the Super Bowl. First, I must say that when I was doing the Man Show, one of my favorite things we did was pulled a clip of you, probably from the 60s when you were playing the Rams here in the Los Angeles Coliseum, and some dope-smoking hippie had got out onto the field and was running around like a maniac, and you just threw an elbow at the guy and dropped him like a bad habit.
Yeah, I don't think it was dope. I think it was just plain old alcohol.
The thing that was nice about it, if you watch it in slow motion as many times as we did over at the Man Show, there was a security guard who was chasing him around. And by the way, when are we going to put cleats on these guys? They're always out there in penny loafers sliding all over the field. Security should have the yellow windbreaker and then have cleats, and I would tape them up, make them look like spats, like Sweetness.
You're right, absolutely.
But yeah, but some maniac gets on the field. You don't want some morbidly obese guy, some guy who looks like Richard Jewell wearing PF Flyers trying to chase the maniac around and trying to kill you.
That's right. Well, he wasn't. You know, nobody knew what he was trying to do, but they weren't catching him, and the Rams were laughing at him, and the Rams were laughing at us because we were been down in their territory. We hadn't scored about three times, so I figured I'd get the guy the hell off the field and go on.
That's right. That's my point. We didn't know what he was going to do. Did he have a bomb? Did he have a knife? Did he have a gun? Ditka wasn't going to wait to find out. He threw him the elbow, and the thing that was awesome, too, is the security guy was chasing him. Of course, the guy was running in a serpentine fashion, and right the very instant, because I've seen it in slow motion 100 times, the very instant the security guy made his move to tackle the guy, Ditka came flying up like a crazed DB and threw the forearm shiver on him and took both of them out. He took the security guy out, too.
Well, I don't remember that, but I knew the other guy went down.
Yes, and I remember Rosie Greer, that hippie. That hippie-loving knitter, Rosie Gray. I said knitter. with the T. The point is he liked needlepoint. He liked needlepoint. The point is he was like, come on, man. I remember he was giving you an earful. It was awesome. Were you ever fined for that?
No, I wasn't fined, really. I mean, I got some bad mail from people. Then I got a lot of good mail from people in L.A., you know, saying it was the right thing to do. And Rosie Greer never bought. None of those guys. That's what kind of made me laugh, because they were all laughing at the guy. They thought it was funny. The Rams did.
Yeah.
And I didn't think there was anything funny about it. That's all.
Well, that's what I like that. I like old-fashioned. Set in his ways. I like that. And the other thing is there would be a lawsuit if a player did that in this day and age. Don't you think, Coach?
I don't know. If I was playing today and somebody did came out in the field, I'd knock him on their ass again. That's just what happens.
Now,
you asked me why.
Yeah.
Now, if I ran into your office and jumped up on your desk, wouldn't you have a right to knock me down?
Yeah, but I would run.
So, I mean, listen, you know, there's rules to be made. You know, the fan pays a price for a ticket.
Right.
And that ticket entitles them to one thing. To go ahead and write that you can stay in your seat, you can watch the game, you can have displeasure with the people playing the game, the coaching the game, whatever, but don't leave that seat. Now, when you come down onto the basketball court like they did here in Detroit, you deserve to get your butt whipped.
That's right. I agree, and it's, you know, you're not rushing the stage at a ballet. These are athletes.
No, these are guys.
Caged animals.
Yeah.
They're going to take you out. You're jumping into the lion's den. But you also, if you're making $20 million a year, you keep your hands in your pocket. If you're making $20,000 a year or whatever they were paying you back then, and what were they paying you back then, Coach?
Well, that year that happened, I was making about $12,000.
Wow, 12?
Maybe 14. I could have been making 14 that year.
Right.
14.
So you got that so sue me mentality. You know what
I
mean?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, first of all, you know, it's a matter of right and wrong. It's not a matter of what I did was right. The matter of what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
If I was wrong in what I did, then that was two wrongs. But he wasn't right in the first place to go on the field. He had no right to do that.
Twelve.
I mean, that wasn't his privilege.
$12,000 a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was big money in those days. Who knew?
Was it?
Well, you know, I was the number one pick in 1961, and I got paid $12,000 with a $6,000 signing bonus.
Wow.
That's true. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's not like today, you know. You don't get paid millions for doing nothing, and then you never do nothing. You get paid on the come in baseball and basketball and football, and some of these guys never come and never get there.
By the way, our own Dave Damashek is an insane Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Who do you like this weekend?
Who's playing? Oh, that game.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the Arena League.
Yeah, no.
No. I'm sorry. You're talking about the game in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Eagles.
You like the Eagles?
Oh, Coach Ditka,
they're not in it.
Southwestern PA.
Oh,
support the black and gold.
Well, I am, but you know what? I don't care who wins it, but I do think Pittsburgh's going to win it. But I don't care who wins it. I mean, I think for one thing, I think everybody in this country, and including your buddy and including the media, has underestimated the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
I may be wrong. They may come out and lay an egg, but I don't think they'll lay an egg. I think it'll be a good game.
No, I think they're selling them short. And, you know, I think the Steelers won handily the weekend before last, and people said, oh, they're going to crush whoever they face. But Seattle won handily as well.
Well, Seattle's got a little better, more balance on offense right now than Denver had.
Yeah, so you grew up in the Pittsburgh area?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because Dave Damashek's mom said she grew up in your neighborhood and wasn't allowed to play with you.
Yeah, she wasn't allowed to play with you because the word on the street was you used to like to pull down girls' underpants.
You got
to
be kidding.
That's true. That's a true story.
It's a true story.
Maybe last year, but not before that.
What's your mom's maiden name?
Zubasic. Michelle Zubasic.
Michelle Zubasic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Bullock?
Yeah, I'm going to go, yeah.
Serbian.
Oh, she's Serbian.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to mess with any Orthodox women.
Yeah.
So I only hung around with the Polacks.
All right, so, Mike, you don't have a pick other than it's going to be a good game this weekend.
I think Pittsburgh's... I think only reason... give Pittsburgh the advantage is because I really believe that they got, you know, the way they're playing defense right now, they remind me a little bit of the way we were in 1985. They're on a roll.
Great
and
Bears.
They're playing hard.
Yeah. That team. It must be nice and a nice tribute to you to have everyone use that team. Certainly that defense is sort of the benchmark that they measure the other teams against.
I know that's true. They use that defense and they should because it was a great defense, but that offense also scored 46 points that day, so.
Yeah, they were.
You gotta be careful. You know, it takes, you know, to really be a good team, it takes every segment, offense, defense, and special teams. And if you're deficient in one area, you're usually not going to be successful. So we had a lot of success. A lot of the success and reason we could score points is because our defense got the football for us.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you admired the Bears of 85, but as a fan, it was just, they were so dominant, it wasn't even worth watching the game.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was pretty good to watch.
All coaching, too, by the way, Coach
no,
Ditka.
No, wasn't good coaching. Good players.
Great
good
coaching.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being a part of the show, Coach
right.
Ditka.
Thank
we
you
do
guys.
Appreciate it.
All right.
You can find Coach Ditka on ESPN doing the NFL analysis. Now it is time to bring the great Dave Coulier into the studio. Dave. In your package. Good to see you.
Star of another sport.
Yes.
Skating.
Yes. I've watched the two episodes of Skating with Celebrities. I have enjoyed it. Who was calling? Oh, Jillian Barbary would call in. You and Jillian Barbary are the cream of the crop over there.
Well, she's a great skater.
She is.
She's a really great skater, and when we first saw her, when we were all first starting the show, we thought there's just no way any of us is going to be able to catch Jillian.
But you're a good skater as well. You're a different kind of skater. It's not a hockey tournament.
Yeah, hockey's a lot different. And, you know, the blades are different, the boots different, the style of skating is different, and the first day that I got there, I had never had a pair of figure skates on before. So I'm out on the ice with Nancy Kerrigan, who's an Olympian and mm-hmm. is an amazing skater. And she said, all right, let's see what you can do. And I hit the toe picks on the front of the skates and just did a face plant.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, all right, well, let's try it again. And I did a couple more face plants. And then I got the idea, all right, I'm going to file down the toe picks.
That.
Yeah. So I ground them off that night. And then I skated the next day. And she said, well, you're funny and you can skate fast. So let's go with that.
So have you been skating with the ground off skates? Or did you acclimate yourself to the toe pick?
No, I ground off the toe picks the first day.
You
and
didn't ground them all off. You just ground the bottom ones off, right?
Ground the bottom ones off, yeah. But, you know, the way the blade is rockered, you know, you can't really utilize the front of those picks.
Unless you do that thing where you run on your very tippy-toe thing, which is cool.
Yeah, and I can't do that either.
If I could skate, there's two moves I would do. I would do the spray with the ice move, that thing where you run at someone and spray them with ice.
The hockey stop.
That'd be one move, and the other one would be the skating backwards around the circle. That backwards skate, that crossover.
The crossovers.
The crossover. Yeah. Nothing looks better.
Funnily enough, those are the two most simple things that you could possibly do.
Skate in a circle and stop.
I don't know.
We could probably get you on some skates. We could have you doing that within 2 days.
Really?
Yep.
Because I wouldn't skate. I would refuse to skate forward. I would do that backward crossover move, just sweeping around there, dangerously close to the boards. That would be my move.
I would skate a circle around my arch nemesis, and then that piece of ice that he was standing on would just fall into
the river.
That would be his demise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like ice fishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dave is not Canadian, we've learned. Everyone assumes that just because he loves hockey and his last name's Coulier and he was born in Canada, that he's Canadian.
I was actually born in Detroit.
Oh, Detroit, yes.
Insulting. But you're denying that half of your heritage.
Oh,
your
I'm not.
Your mother would be...
Well, I want to try and get my dual citizenship. I've never tried to get that, but since my mom's Canadian, I can...
But No, I'm not Canadian. No. You're just denying it outright.
No. Hey, I love Canada. I love Canadians and, you know...
Yeah.
Half of my family's Canadian.
Here's my thing with Canadians.
Love Canadians.
What's not to like about Canadians? On the other hand, what's to like? You know what I mean? They're push.
Good point.
Let's face it. All right, we'll take a break. Dave Coulier is here. We will have Dave's package reading from the Star Jones book. Maybe Bullwinkle and Popeye, and they'll all read from the Star Jones
book. I got to find out how the whole package thing started, too.
Well, you got it going, my friend.
You started it, sir.
Second you donned those velvet bell bottoms, you got it started.
Wasn't on purpose, believe me.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. He's on the other line.
All right.
So hang on.
Okay.
So you lost sight of the wallet?
No, I saw him take it, but then he just disappeared on the corner.
Did you talk to the guy who picked up the wallet?
No, I saw him take it.
Oh, you saw him take it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hang tight. Hello?
Hi. I found your wallet on the street.
Thank you. May we put you on the radio, sir?
Why?
Well, up until now, it was entertaining.
Okay.
Good. Did you found my wallet?
Yes.
Thank you. How much money is in it?
I didn't open it.
Oh, didn't even look.
No, I just see the number and just called.
Wow, you see? Look at that. What country are you from, sir? I want to move there.
I'm from Iran.
Oh. All right. I mean, okay. Fantastic. Why? What's funny? I don't see anything funny about that.
What's the best neighborhood to look for homes in?
Oh. Yes. Is there an Encino or something that's, Beverly Hills adjacent? By the way, the Beverly Hills adjacent, if you're ever looking for apartments out here, extends to the Pacific Ocean, up to Mount Pinos, and then down into Guadalajara. I mean, it's 2 million square miles, the Beverly Hills adjacent. Are you a doctor?
Yes, I'm a dentist.
Oh, a dentist. Hmm. And what do you specialize in?
General.
General?
Yes.
All right. You ever have sex with any patients when they're under?
Come on, man. I need to see patients.
Okay. All right. Sorry, buddy. Great sense of humor in that part of the world. So you found the wallet, and you called in because it said to call in.
Yes.
You're an honest man.
Thank you.
God love you, and thank you. And if there's a skinny black guy who wants the wallet back, give it to him. But make sure his name is Jaron, all right?
Okay.
He should be lurking somewhere around there. Or has he found you? Wait a minute. You picked up the wallet, and then
you
took off? Yeah, where are you?
My office is closed when I found it. I'm at 8704 West Pico.
All right. and you're at your office?
Yes.
Hey, what's the name of your dental practice? So give it a plug on the radio if people want. And by the way, this is an honest dentist. This isn't someone that's going to give you a filling when you don't need it or have sex with your daughter when she's under the nitrous. He's going to take care of you. Give your business a plug on the radio, doctor.
I work in Sinai Family Dentistry at 8704 West Pico Boulevard.
All right.
310-854-6565.
That's right. He's capitalist now. Hang on a second, doctor, would you please?
For sure.
We'll figure out a way to get that wallet from you. All right. We've done this four times, Dave. We've thrown a wallet out willy-nilly into the streets of Southern California with $100 cash and a little Brother P-Touch posted that said, if found, please call this number. So far, out of the four times we've done it, we've gotten three, and then one, they've just hung on to it, but we have the feeling they would have called when they got to their break. It was a place of business.
Nobody took the cash?
Nobody has taken the cash.
Wow.
Do you see that? People aren't so bad.
Yeah. It's an
really
honest world
out
there.
Except we did have one person pick up the wallet, open it, and then throw it into the street.
The point is people are generally good, and this is a good reason for you to put a number, not Dave Coulier, your huge star, but you peasants, you serfs, you commoners, as Dave refers to you off the air, you should put your number on your cell phone, put it on your iPod, put it on your wallet, and if you lose it, there's a good chance that you may get it back. I'm telling you, we're about 4 for 4. All different nationalities, all different parts of town.
That's pretty honest.
And believe me, wherever you're listening, it's better than L.A. I mean, if this works in L.A., it's certainly going to work in Seattle or San Diego.
Beverly Hills adjacent.
Which are both Beverly Hills adjacent. All right, now, we were talking to Dave Coulier about his package.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. I wanted to apologize because it took me a second to introduce myself to Dave out there, and I shook your hand. I didn't introduce myself to your package. I didn't want to be rude.
Wow. We were going for the donut.
Yeah.
You were going for the donut.
So was your package.
Yeah. No, that's right. There's donuts out there. You were going for a donut. I didn't want to interrupt. And you know,
Dave's package first gained fame. I think.
You know, how did this happen?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened.
Okay.
You donned the bell bottoms, the tight hip hugging bell bottoms,
yeah,
because you had the disco theme going last week, and then you hoisted Nancy Kerrigan above your head. But instead of looking at Nancy Kerrigan, we looked at your package.
Yeah, now, the pants were apparently way too flattering.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm here to debunk
that. As I said,
that,
I was going to wear hip huggers on a block of ice, I would stuff everything in my closet into my underpants. I wouldn't take any chances out there. Did you have any tube socks or anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tube socks, a couple of thimbles.
Thimbles.
Yeah, a couple of thimbles. Yeah, thimble wiener.
Confident man. As promised, Dave's package was going to do a dramatic reading from Star Jones's book, Shine.
Okay.
We've had many celebrities come in here and read from the book, but we've never had a package do the reading. So if you could go ahead and mic up the package.
Okay, hold on here. Let me just shift around here. My package happens to sound somewhat like Richard Pryor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it could do worse.
Oh, this is from Star Jones' book, Shine. And this is from a little excerpt called Exercise. Okay, here we go. At my heaviest, I never exercised. I don't know if it was because I was too damn tired to exercise because I was too fat or just too tired, period. Whatever the reason for my couch potato status, I had to start somewhere. Portion control and nutrition wasn't enough. I had to tune the engine, you know, firm up the chassis. Exercise would ensure the performance of my heart, lungs, muscles, and increased flexibility. Not to mention the look of my flabby upper arms. She got some nice flabby arms. That's all.
Well, you like that, right, Package?
Yeah, oh, heck yeah. I mean,
Coulier is chasing the waif models, but you're going after the big gals, right?
You're darn right. I'm down here alone, feeling lonely. A man needs some help.
Maybe you guys could find some common ground, you and Coulier, at about 155 pounds. You know what I mean?
That is nuts. It also would have an effect on my emotional readiness for a partner. I have that all the time, that emotional readiness. That's some good stuff, Jack.
Wow. Package, could you put Coulier back on the
yeah,
mic?
I'm exhausted.
Wow.
I'm exhausted after that.
It's awesome stuff. We will take ourselves a little break. Does your package yell out in movie theaters?
All the time, Jack.
That's good. Heavy question. Dave Coulier and his package is here. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm is waiting in the wings. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Quagmire. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Dave Coulier is here. Dave,
don't forget about me, too. I'm down here.
Oh, Dave's package. I'm sorry, still hanging out. Right.
Dave's package, notorious. We were just talking about all the conquests that package has made, famous ones.
Oh, come on, no.
What's smart, though, to separate yourself from your package in case you get caught cheating.
It'd be great if you could just leave it in a drawer sometimes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to worry about it, like a little cigar box.
Yeah.
Well, not a little cigar box.
But then the maid steals it.
Yeah.
And you don't have it for the weekend?
I don't know where it is. I don't know. I don't know.
My housekeeper only speaks English on payday.
I had a housekeeper that found the life-size sculpture of Ron Jeremy's package that he gave me. He did Loveline 5 years ago, and he brought in the thing. You know, in the porn industry, there's now this thing where you actually dip your private parts into plaster, and you can bring home an actual representation of your favorite star's parts.
You can now do that. They've made a thing. You can make them in chocolate as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the home version. That's the home game version.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but those will fall apart almost immediately. I need something
tasty
that'll take the kind of pounding I'll give it. But
Coulier's chocolate package. I can't wait till Christmas already.
That's a good band name.
You know, the definition of low self-esteem is buying, like, Jenna Jameson's rendition of her parts and then just performing oral on it. never actually getting in there. But anyway, Ron Jeremy gave me his representation of his package, which is even, it's 20% bigger than the guy is, which is gargantuan. And it was one of these things where I couldn't throw it out. I didn't know what to do with it. He gave it to my car.
Well, you don't want someone finding that in your garbage either.
I know. Well, you certainly don't want your maid finding it in the closet. But she did.
What happened?
Well, there's that thing where there's just enough language barrier not to talk about anything, but yet the mind is intact. You know what I mean?
You should have just been like, grabbed it. Give me that.
Well,
run away.
That's the whole point. She'd moved it to do something. It was moved. Unless it picked up and walked on its own. It moved on its own. And it was one of those. There's 1,000 of these things. If you ever have someone come by the house once a week to do something, there's 1,000 of that. Oh, they must have seen this. They must have found that. They must have cleaned this up. Just don't say anything. Just tip them out at Christmas time and hope they don't write a tell-all book. That's all. Now, I don't know. Now, meanwhile, she has no contacts. This is not Ron Jeremy's thing. This is just a huge male penis I have in my closet. And she doesn't know anything about radio or showbiz. She has no idea what I do other than evidently collect huge phalluses. All right. So Coulier is here. We stumbled onto Coulier's package watching Skating with Celebrities, which is on tonight. 8 o'clock. What is the theme for tonight?
I think it's Motown. No, it might be Motown.
And so you dress accordingly.
Yeah.
Oh, so another
tonight.
Another
actually,
appearance
I wear
by
the
package.
No. Tonight, I wear the most outrageous costume of the whole show.
Look at Dave. Trying to, like...
I'm teasing it.
Yeah, well, no, you're I mean, what, are you jealous of your package? You don't want it? You're taking away the limelight from your package? You
I
don't
package
want
envy with myself, yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
Well, his package played 6 years for the Detroit Red Wings. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Defenseman.
Yep. Yeah, the enforcer, they call
him. Tough to get by.
Never scored, but he is an enforcer. No, I think I've always, you know, people always do this with the black athlete thing when they do the third person where they're like, LeBron James does what's best for LeBron James. They always do that thing and people go, what the hell is that? I say it's a diabolical strategy and the same one Dave Coulier has implemented with his package, which is if you ever get caught cheating, you get to talk about yourself like you're not in the room.
That's right.
So when your wife comes in and starts yelling at you, go, I don't think LeBron James would do something like that. But if you want, I can talk to LeBron. Meanwhile, it's LeBron. That's all I'm saying. You'll do that with the package.
Of course.
You get busted. Your wife starts yelling at you. You're like, listen, I'll talk to him, but I don't know.
I don't know. It wasn't my fault. I have no control over what he does.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? He's a wild stallion that must run free. I'll see if I can rein him in. So now, far, no woman has.
Regarding this package, there's a song by Alanis Morissette, well known.
Yes.
You know, where she refers to what's the exact line, please?
The older version of me.
No, you ought to know. You ought to know. Talks about doing things to a fella in a movie theater and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you know, you do that popcorn trick once and it comes back to haunt you. Over and over again.
Was that, in fact, you? I've always heard it was.
Well, we dated for a while, but this is a long time ago. This is 92.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great, but, you know, she was living in Canada, and I was here as a new dad, a single dad, and it was hard.
But we have a rule that nobody can reside during the show hours up on Coy Hill. Please come down.
Or Pious Mountain.
No. Yeah.
So you were right. In 92.
Yep.
She was a child sort of star in Canada,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yep.
She was
a pop singer.
Basically,
and she's
sort
on,
of,
you can't do that on television.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
I mean, yep.
Right. And sort of a Mickey Mouse club of Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she sung and did all that stuff. And then in 92.
I meet her at the All-Star game, the NHL All-Star game in Montreal.
Are you?
And she sang the anthem.
You're full house in it at 92,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
And in full effect, and so is the package. So she knows who you are, and then you know who she is through keeping track of Canadians, even though you live just across the border.
Yeah.
So you guys hook up, and how long? And your father?
My son is about a year and a half to 2 years old at this time.
His son's 15.
And I'm a single dad.
6'1", 240.
Yeah,
wow. His son,
big
15.
Kid. Yeah.
Wow.
Big kid.
Takes after the package.
Yeah.
Single dance. So, yeah. So now you meet her and you go out for how long?
A little over a year.
I find her, not only do I like her as an artist, and I know some people, I don't know, I think she gets a little bit of a bad rap for being sort of an artiste or whatever, but I think she's really talented artistically,
yeah.
And I've met her a couple times. She seems really interesting.
Nice human being.
Yeah.
I have nothing. I will always take the high road there.
In
she's
spite
very
of the
cool.
fact she sang a song about you.
Well, you know, I've never really accepted the fact that that song is about me because they're, you know, she was writing, when we were dating, she was writing a lot of that music.
And
then it came out after we had already broken up.
Did you dump her? Did you give her a reason to put pen to paper?
It was, no, we parted amicably.
Really?
Yeah. And,
not according to that song.
I think it, well, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things in Jagged Little Pill that hit very close to home. I mean, there's a lot
really?
Of little
have
things.
You, have
in
you
there.
Ever, have you, do you speak to her?
I haven't talked to her in a long time, in a few years.
Wait, have you ever asked her the question, or
yeah,
would you ever do that?
Yeah, when the press started hounding me about the song, saying, you know, is it you, is it you? I called her, and I said, hey, what do you want me to say? And she said, say whatever you want.
Mm.
I would say that Dave Coulier went from man to legend with that song, like in terms of you're modest, yet,
yeah.
Oh my, wow. Dave, really? Dave Coulier?
Yeah, but the
wow,
guy
I
in that.
Never would have.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like sexy.
Yeah.
The guy in that song, though, is pretty much a real a-hole, though.
Yeah, but chicks love that.
You know?
I'm telling you, you could get laid just based on. I used to use that. That's me. I'd bring a little recorder into the bar and say, she's singing about me. I would do that
and
with everything.
Once this chocolate package hits the market, hits the grocery stands,
that's right.
Forget it.
Then you talk about yourself in third person. It ties everything in.
Dave does voices. It's not the package isn't the only talented one in the family. Dave is talented as well. Dave is known for doing a little Popeye and let's see, who else do we got with you? I used to see it on Full House. Bullwinkle. Who else do we, who would you like to do? Would you like to read a little bit more from the Star Jones
absolutely.
Book? This time as Dave Coulier as,
sure.
I don't know. Well, you do who you want and we'll guess immediately who it is.
Okay. This will be a real easy one.
This is how she met Al, right?
This is how, yeah. This is from the chapter 7, Sex and Dating in a Moral Context.
Mm.
Mortal or moral?
Moral context.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I looked up. And was floored. This handsome man with the skin color of cooked butter. This man with the most beautiful lips I'd ever seen. A Clark Gable jawline and the deepest brown eyes on the planet softly continued what he'd started to say, which was, I saw you once at a party 5 years ago and was too hesitant to approach you, but this time I'm braver. Hmm. When I walked into that room the day I met Al Scales Reynolds, I didn't walk with the intention of meeting someone. I walked in with my mind on feeling good about me. I was prepared. I started on getting ready. My relationship with God was strong. My health was getting better by the day, and my weight loss program had been moving along for months.
Please, could someone find me a black atheist? Just find me a black person that's heavy set that doesn't like God.
It's called a Blatheist.
A Blatheist. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Bowie.
When that tall, smart, wonderful man took my arm, I was emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready to accept him. I deserved him. And you know what? I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for moi.
Wow.
It was touching.
Wow.
I get a little tear.
Is his middle name Scales?
Scales. Scales Reynolds.
That's unfortunate.
Sadly ironic, yeah.
Tip the scales.
Wow. It's just
gross.
Bad when you're morbidly obese and you marry a guy who's got a middle name Scales. Does anyone have a middle name named? And they always do that thing where they go, well, why is your middle name Scales? And then they go, oh, well, it's named after my grandfather and my mom. Oh, okay. What the hell's his name Scales for? Everyone, no one does the math. I keep going. What kind of idiot would name him? And then they go, well, he was named, and you just keep getting back to Genesis. But very nice, by the way, Dave. So,
Thank
tonight.
You.
Now, who's left in the competition? Todd Bridges.
He's they're gone.
Was out.
They're
yes.
gone. So it's me and Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah Gibson and Kurt Browning.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian Barbary, John Zimmerman.
Yeah, hunky.
Bruce Jenner and Ty Babylonia.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy Swanson and Lloyd Eisler.
Lloyd Eisler, strong.
Lloyd Eisler.
Good name.
That's like scales.
Eisler.
You know?
Eisler's a good name for a skater.
Yeah.
Awesome. The
Greg Zamboni.
I think folks are the only better skating name. And there's got to be a Zamboni out there, right? And he must skate because his dad invented the... Here's the thing. I think celebrities are more competitive than average people. I really do. If you think about it, how did they get where they are? You know, how do you defy the odds?
Not according to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well,
he thinks they shouldn't be competitive.
Well, they are. I mean, let's face it, when there's you know, three roles available and there's 300,000 people going after it, the competitive, you must be talented, but you have to be competitive or you're never going to get the gig, especially at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, you got to be aggressive.
And I think that's why when you watch any of these shows where they're ice skating or they're dancing or something, you realize they're probably more competitive than average folk, like Dave Damashek over here. Yes, Janet?
Yes, hi, Adam.
You have a question for Dave Coulier?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm good, thanks.
I am a big fan. I loved you on Full House.
Thank you.
But I also wanted to ask you about Surreal Life.
Yeah, what would you like to know? I've got all the inside dirt.
Well, I wanted to know, basically all around, was pretty much what we were seeing, really, what was happening. I mean, was there anything hidden underneath, you know, stuff they chopped up and made look worse? Or
there was a lot more boozing going on.
Oh,
and,
really?
And drugging. Then
really,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was doing the drugging?
I'm not going to say, but
you
can kind of figure
with?
It out.
Who were you on with?
I was on with
his package has a $500 a day coke habit.
Yeah.
you're on with Flavor Flav.
Flavor
right?
Flav, Bridget Nielsen.
Ooh.
All right, that
there's your answer.
Yeah,
yeah, and Ryan Starr from American Idol.
Right. And how do they, I mean, everyone who's comes in, everyone I've ever spoken to who's on a reality show says, oh, they just cut it up and spin it. They just make the storyline in the editing bay.
Yeah, they do.
That's how they have, to do it.
Well, they
want to
tell a story, so that the story of ours was that Bridget and Flav kind of get together because they knew they were going to spin them off.
Right. And did you, did you feel you were portrayed accurately and fairly?
Yeah, I think so.
How about your package?
My package, though, I think didn't get enough.
Could you put them on the mic for just 1 second?
No, hold on.
You're disappointed about this?
Yeah, what's up? I was taking a nap.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got to rest up for tonight.
I'm sorry.
I got a lot of stuff planned.
Sorry, Dave's package. Did you feel you were portrayed accurately in the Surreal Life?
I didn't. I that water was cold.
The
pool water was cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I crunched up.
Yeah, no, you got to put something in your rider right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I know Cool Ye has a rider saying what he needs. He needs the green M&Ms in the dressing room. But your package, your highness, can I call your highness or your package ship? Or?
Yeah, whatever. I'm wearing a little cap.
The point is
you like, got, it's like a king hat.
You got to get a rider going. No cold water.
What'd you say, rider? What?
Yeah, you know, the celebrity thing. It's the thing they use, the celebrities give out that say, I need a driver, I need, well, you know, I need this snack and that snack.
You know me, I hear rider, and right away, you know, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
You know, you know how that works.
One track mind on that package.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Can you put Mr. Coulier back on?
Sure, sure. I'm right here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Wow. Package.
I'd like to know this. Does Kerrigan, your partner Kerrigan, does she have a sense of humor about the whole thing of, you know, back when she got kneecapped by Tonya Harding?
You know, I didn't bring that up because I'm from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Lulee's from Detroit, too.
Yeah. So, she did bring it up, though, and talked a little bit about how awful that was and that suddenly the attention was taken away from her being an Olympic skater to there's the girl that got attacked. So she said when she was walking through the Olympic Village, all the other athletes from around the world would point at her, and she said it was pretty horrible.
It was such a surreal, pardon the pun, this, so surreal that they just ran up and hit her with like a pipe. Like it was something from the 20s or something, like the Bowery Boys or something, like some crazy.
Just like as a, if you were nasty, you could have like played a mean joke on her and recreated it with your package, you know, tried to kneecap her with your package.
Why me? I mean, it was like a pipe, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, I mean, you know, it's sort of refreshing. It's like when you hear about someone going to Europe and getting their pocket picked. It's like, oh, that's lovely.
It's like they plan that in a tree fort.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, right?
All
right,
boys.
You get the pipe, right?
Then we scram.
That's right. We scram. Routine 6. All right, let's go. Let's get out of here. Tommy, you got a sandwich, right? Okay, good. Let's hit it.
Dave Coulier is here. We're bringing Susie Essman in here just a minute. From Curb Your Enthusiasm. We got to take a break. Skating with Celebrities, everyone. Fox, 8 p.m. And, of course, all over the dial on Full House. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you to Dave's package.
Yeah, thanks for having me, too. I had a great time.
All right.
Is this Susie girl cute?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you can hang out with her. I know Dave's running late, but you can hang behind.
I love hanging out.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yep, strippers love me. Susie Essman is in studio.
That did not sound convincing, that he's so hot.
Well,
not that you're not.
I know.
Not that you're not. It was just like, he's so hot.
You know, and I'm guessing the person was stupid, and when you're stupid, you always sound bad.
You always sound stupid.
Yeah, it's why when you're dumb, you're a horrible actor. Because everything sounds like you don't mean it. If you got pulled over, you're always going in when you're dumb.
Yeah, but a lot of them, I was with them all last night at the SAG Awards.
How was that?
It was dumb. It was dumb, but there's a lot. Did you watch it?
I watched some of it,
because,
yeah.
Because, like, in the beginning, they're so filled with their own self-importance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's this whole opening where they're like, you know, when I was 6 years old, you know what, my mother told me that I was, like, the greatest in the whole world, and that's what I wanted to do with my life, and I'm Susie Essman, and I'm an actor.
It took courage. It took a lot of guts.
Yeah,
you know? So giving as an actor. Yeah, yeah, it's always...
I'm an actor. Like, I found the cure for cancer.
I know. It's a weird thing. It's acting. You can either do it or you can't, and it's probably no big deal. I mean, most kids can do that. Do you know what I mean? If you just tell them, pretend you're this or pretend you're that. It's very intuitive. It's something you start at a very early age. What's the big deal?
I knew I wanted to be an actor? When I was a child growing up in the neighborhood, and we would play cowboys and Indians.
You're bit by the bug?
I loved it so much. Hey, guess what? So did everybody else.
Right. Right.
My kids are the greatest actors because they lie. They're just like the greatest liars in the world, you know?
The kids are excellent.
Oh, they're incredible.
Yeah, and but speaking of kids, it's a super blowhardy move, too, when the actors talk about what keeps them grounded. When I come home at the end of the day, I got a 4-year-old. He doesn't know his daddy is Bobby De Niro. All he knows is he wants his bae back. And that's what keeps me grounded. Oh, you mean your kid doesn't kiss your ass? I can't believe your kid is not in awe that you're a great actor, a great thespian.
The other thing I love at these awards shows, it's like they there's always that moment where they win and then they say, Molly and Chloe, go to bed.
Oh, yeah. So down to earth. A mother first. I would love someone to be interviewed. Maybe you can do this, Susie. You say, you, when you're interviewed on Entertainment Tonight, you can go, but nothing prepared me for the greatest role of my life. And then don't talk about you. Don't say as a mother. Say, as a sorceress.
Yeah, really?
Who could levitate and travel the universe. It was awesome. And Don't say as a mother. That's what I would love, because there's nothing worse than the greatest. Nothing could prepare you for the greatest role.
Can I tell you the really weird thing on the red carpet? Speaking of that, was, you know, you're on the red carpet and it's just everything's fake. Everybody's wearing a borrowed dress and borrowed jewelry, and they're prancing around showing it's not even theirs. You know, it's all borrowed. And then I'm doing the red carpet with Jeff, and it was, I don't know if it was ET or Access Hollywood.
Jeff Garland.
Yeah, Jeff Garland plays my husband on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and one of the interviewers says, would you like to send a message to Bob Woodruff's family?
Oh,
I swear to you, in the middle of the red carpet. And Jeff and I looked at each other like, Are they watching? In the middle of the record. Are you excited about tonight? Yeah. Would you like to send a message? Where did that come from?
I don't, it's so pompous. I can't stand it.
This has become the big thing, though, with these entertainment shows, is to solicit the opinions of celebrities about when Johnny Carson died. They asked the guy, the hunk from Desperate Housewives. I can't think of his name, the hunk guy. What's your reaction to Johnny? Who cares what your reaction is, Desperate Housewives guy?
Who cares what their reaction is about politics?
That being said, Susie, you saying get over it, I think, was inappropriate. I rarely say that. There is a line somewhere, Susie.
You're right.
Susie Essman here from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Arguably the best comedy on TV. I think everyone in the know will agree with that.
Thank you. I agree with that.
And it's nice because I love it whenever you're on camera on that show. So giving, so generous, so courageous, so courageous. A hero.
You know what? She
takes chances. I love that about her. Because here's why you get to take chances as an actor. Because if it sucks, they'll stop and do it again.
Exactly.
You don't get to take chances when you're jumping motorcycles. You don't get to take chances. There's no do-overs. Why not take chances as an actor? If it blows, you stop and do it again.
That's why it's so easy, especially being a comic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're on that stage all by yourself, that's it. You're done.
That's right. But that's why it takes guts to get out there. Susie Essman type guts. Visceral guts. Susie, I like your character because you get to use a lot of profanity. And I say, if you're going to be on cable, that's what you need
to
do.
Do it, exactly. I met Ian McShane last night, and it was kind of like we kind of had a battle.
Is he a Deadwood guy?
Yeah, the really filthy one.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a battle between of who is filthier.
Is he a dwarf?
No.
He's not a short man?
No, he's short. In mid-height to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why, do you have something against dwarfs, Adam? Is there
they're good for throwing. I don't know if you want to hang out with
them. They
made
his career. Yeah. On the Man Show.
That's true.
He owes everything he has to them.
What do you mean, me? They owe us.
True.
We put them back on the map. That's right.
They hadn't worked since Oz.
That's right. All right, not the prison show.
That too, maybe. I don't know.
Susie also did some Crank Yankers.
I did. So much fun.
If you're cranking. Yeah, between Curb Your Enthusiasm and doing stuff like Crank Anchors, just a sort of loosely scripted, go ahead and say what you want, we'll work around you.
Yeah, I like that. Don't you? I mean, you know.
Yeah, Crank Anchors was fun because, again, you could be courageous, because if you effed up, you'd do another phone call.
Exactly.
They wouldn't use that one.
But you know what I found in Crank Yankers, which was so interesting to me, was that when you would call, you go through the phone book and they just pick people at random to call. And when you'd call, like, from New York, for example, they'd hang up on you.
Right.
But finally, they got smart in my second session where they only called the South.
Right.
Where they were so polite.
Well,
and they would never hang up on you. Was it polite or stupid?
I don't know.
Whatever.
It's stupid. Horrible sandwich, but a great way to be emotionally. Here's what it was. If you called New York, whoever picked up the phone sounded like he was working the register at a deli at noon in Times Square.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just, hello? Yeah, what do you need? No, I don't care.
I have no time for this.
Yeah, no, come on. Kiss my ass. And you just hang up immediately. Whereas if you called someone, and we used to call like Alaska. Alaska, people just pick up the phone and you'd say, all right, I'm going to call you back tomorrow at this time. Okay, be looking forward to it.
They got nothing to do.
I would talk to someone for 15 minutes and eventually go, listen, I thought you would have hung up on me many, many moments ago, but I now have to hang up on you. I have to get on with my prank calling. Okay, then, so this time tomorrow, call you back.
They're probably there.
Kevin Nealon did a call where he needed his northernmost compass buddy. He was, I don't remember his character, but he needed a compass buddy in the south, the southernmost region, the northernmost region. Found some town in Alaska that represented the northernmost part of the compass and said he was going to call back every day at noon to check in with his compass buddy. And the guy was delighted to have him. Delighted. Yeah, it's a bad sign. Although, you know, I was thinking about it. If your phone rings and you stare at it and you go, who could that be? I'll just let it ring and let the answering machine get. That's a bad sign. That means there's a couple skeletons in the closet. Who is this? Bill Collector? X?
No, it could be your mother.
Mother?
I got caller ID for my mother.
But the point is if you let the phone ring and you screen every call, it's a bad sign. conversely, if it rings once and you dive on it, hello? Who's
song.
This?
Yeah. It's a,
yes, the, I'd say the most centered people, the people that pick up 2.5, 3 rings and don't care. No baggage.
Who has no baggage?
Nobody.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo, by the way, with Susie Essman.
Oh, can't wait.
You excited?
Yeah, baby.
It's sweeping the nation.
You'll take some chances.
She's courageous.
That's my job.
As an Ask Kiss Rodeo participant, she's courageous.
Yeah.
She inspires me. I was inspired. Hey, I like this one, too. First, I was intimidated when I met De Niro, but I met him on the set. Pompous ass. Wouldn't talk to me for the first 3 weeks. I would love someone who said that.
Wasn't allowed to make eye contact with him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've heard that about Scorsese, that you're not allowed to make eye contact
with him. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is there an actor with the huevos to say, I was a huge fan, I saw all his movies, and I met him. He was down to earth. He was just like, is there a guy who just goes, he's an ass, pompous ass. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Susie Essman here from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we'll play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo after this.
This is Kevin Nealon, and if you're not listening to The Adam Carolla Show, I hope you have a good excuse. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
866-901-ADAM. Susie Essman is here from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is wrapped up and is coming back. Isn't, do you know?
It's Larry's world. I'm only living in it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll find out.
He makes the decisions, and he has not told anybody. We might come back.
It was, well, it always seems like longer when a show is good and you miss it. Like other shows, when they come back, you're like, what? That's still on. Whatever. But when, you know, when they do The Sopranos and Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff like that, well, The Sopranos takes 5 years in between episodes. But Curb Your Enthusiasm, was it a year before?
A year and a half. But you see, that's because it's HBO, not network. They're not on the same kind of schedule.
They're not on any schedule.
Exactly.
It's not that they're on the same kind. They have zero schedule.
You know what? I do think that if you look at shows like The Sopranos and Curb, one of the reasons why they're so good is because they're not banging out 26 shows a year.
Right.
I think waters everything down.
Yeah.
And makes it, you know, hard to do good stuff.
Well, artistically, whether you're coming out with a song a day or an episode a day or a painting a day, it's going to be tough to keep the quality control going.
That's right.
Susie is agreed to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with us. Let's we'll give you a sample of how you play Ask Kiss Rodeo. It's my ass that you kiss, by the way. You have to stay on. I may juke, I may bob, I may weave, and you try to stay with me. Give us a shot of that, Mike, would you please? I'm in the mood for a sandwich. I'm thinking BLT. I think that's the best.
I think they should rename the BLT the AC after you.
Mm. Yeah, on the other hand, the bacon's kind of fatty, and it's weird because it's a pig.
All pigs should be slaughtered, and you should never even have to look at one. They shouldn't even cross your path.
Yeah, I'm going to start keeping a kosher house once I go Jew.
That's a genius idea.
Thank you. And that's how you play.
Wow, okay, nice. Got it.
You got it?
Got it.
All right. Now, we have a theme song that was sent in, I do believe, from Rich from Vegas, who gave us a Big Tad theme song earlier. Can we hear a little of that?
If you're working for Adam, you better ride the brown-nosed bull. If you want to keep your job, you better give his cock a pull. If there's one thing that we all know, it's the Ask Kiss Rodeo. You better pucker up, agree with everything he says. If you want this job to last, tell him that you love his show and that his hair is beautiful. 'Cause he's Adam Carolla, and it's the Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Wow.
How does he know you have a hairy ass? That's what I want to know.
I think he did the brow math. It's not hard to do. It's like when a guy's got a pizza face. There's a couple of zits on his back.
All right.
Figure there's a couple of zits on the back. You do the math. Wow, I hope one day that becomes a Chevy truck commercial. Sung to the theme of Ask Kiss Rodeo. All right. Susie's agreed to play a little something called Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Be careful.
It's Ask Kiss
yourself.
Rodeo.
Looking forward to the Super Bowl this weekend. Yeah.
Super Bowl's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the great American icons.
Yeah, but it's dangerous. I don't like to see people get hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, you think back to that Joe Theismann leg break. Sticks in my brain. You don't want to re-see something like that. Yeah.
I would never let my kid play football.
No, it's you want your kid to be banging their head and you know, break their knees for a game?
On the other hand, why let them play soccer? Turn them gay.
Well, there are many gay soccer players. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I like baseball.
Baseball's the best.
I like football.
Football's good, too.
I like Nerf ball.
Nerf ball, there's a fine art and subtlety to Nerf ball that people don't understand. It's hard when the ball is that light to really do anything with it.
I like Connect Four.
What is that?
Oh, you never ask what is. That's one of the rules
of that improv.
Yes, yes, and
yes.
Not
yes
only
and.
That, but not what is that?
Can we do it over?
Good effort, though. Ooh, that is a strong.
Do you want to get back
on the bowl? Yes.
Well, may I? You know, as the only person who doesn't play the game, and if I can give you a little advice,
you mean?
I think this. I think what you maybe want to incorporate this time around is how it affects Adam Carolla.
Oh, it's a narcissism rodeo.
There you go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good, though. You did good.
The narcissism ass-kiss rodeo. Gotcha.
Rachel Berry got burned on the same one, asking the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got burned early when she wanted to know who Adam Carolla was. But still, it turned out to be her Achilles heel. All right, let's try another round. That was
I'm
solid.
I'm enjoying this.
Solid showing, yeah.
Celebrity ass-kiss rodeo.
Ass-kiss rodeo.
Like Curb Your Enthusiasm, funny show.
It is a brilliant, best show on television.
Yeah, Larry David, the best, funniest man on TV.
Oh, he is a genius.
But not as funny as Jeff Garlin.
Well, you know, very few people are as funny as Jeff Garlin. Jeff Garlin is a wit, a raconteur.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla's as funny as Jeff Garlin, though.
Skinny is a broomstick, that Jeff Garlin.
Yes, you know, he's lost a tremendous amount of weight. You know how he did it? Pilates and portion control.
Wow.
Just like Star Jones.
Fat ass, though. Big as the state of Kansas.
Star Jones or Jeff Garlin?
Both.
Yeah, I agree with that, Adam. But you have a skinny ass.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Hold on. Skinny? No, I'm sorry.
That's not complimentary.
Nice.
Skinny.
Nice.
It's right. It's
beautiful
ass. It's the not too distant cousin of bony. And then flat. No, yes. You want voluptuous is nice.
I would say she missed a few opportunities to really compliment you in the process of agreeing with you.
You know what? Next time I come on, I'm going to be so good at this. It's just going to be the Adam Carolla ass kiss rodeo. I'm going to lie in bed at night thinking of Adam Carolla compliments.
It was, look, first off, you're a celebrity. It's early in the morning.
I'm on New York time.
Oh, you did a fantastic job, I must say.
Wait, it's later.
Thank
for you. What are you complaining about if it's New York time?
That's what I'm saying. I'm okay. I'm
She's
awake.
Sharp.
Oh, you're
She's
awake.
Sharp.
Oh.
You attended the SAG Awards last night. Did you go party afterward?
A little bit. I went to Spago to the HBO party, and the food was excellent.
Is there any celebrities that you're excited about seeing? I know we hate all celebrities, but anyone that you were excited about? Did you meet anyone?
No.
Did anyone come up to you?
Yeah, but I don't remember because I got really drunk at the thing.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
You just sit there drinking the red wine, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly boring.
No, it's true that some of these things, while they may be 2 hours or some of the things like the roasts we've done for Comedy Central and MTV.
Oh, they're in long.
Right. What they don't realize is that Geechee Guy gets up there and does 4 hours and they cut it down to 10 seconds. Everybody gets up there and just does 40 minutes,
right.
Literally, and they whack down Jeff Ross's 40-minute set to 2.5 minutes. But if you're there, it's a five-hour
exactly. And that's
ordeal.
One of the reasons why they're so hard, because you want to go on first for those roasts. You want to go in the top three, because the audience is exhausted.
Everybody in the audience is just sitting there drinking red wine. So 5 hours and six bottles later at the table, everyone's S-faced out of their mind. That's but the SAG Awards is done in sort of in real time,
yes,
right?
It's live.
Cut down. Still boring.
It's still boring.
2 hours.
It's unbelievably boring. And you just wait for your category to come up, and then you just feel like a total loser.
You got beat. You guys got beat by Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. I protest.
Not even a comedy. Some would argue.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
I felt that way. I felt like And they all of them. I saw them all on the red carpet. They all had like bone chest.
Super skinny.
They had like the bone chest. What the hell is that?
Very unattractive on a woman.
I don't like that.
Yes, I don't like seeing sternum. I like bosom.
Of course, who doesn't like a nice bosom? Even I like a nice bosom.
I do as well. We could both marvel at your ample bosom and not your sternum. Yeah, and who else? Well, at least Will and Grace didn't beat you. Were they nominated?
They weren't nominated.
Oh,
no.
Well,
that's a funny show.
No, I don't like it.
Sean Hayes beat Larry.
Oh, as best?
As best actor.
Who else was in the comedy category?
In our category, Arrested Development, Raymond.
That's funny.
Boston Legal, comedy, hello.
Hello.
Although Shatner, anything Shatner does is funny to me.
Right.
He's just a walking comic clown.
Yeah.
My Name is Earl. I've never seen. I don't know if it's funny or not.
Yeah, well, I hear it's good. My feeling is anybody but Desperate Housewives in terms of winning that category. The show's not even a comedy.
Exactly. I agree, Adam. Let's do an Ask Kiss Rodeo on that subject.
Thank you. We shall, except we're out of time.
Why don't they just start a whole new category called satire, and they can just win all the awards they want?
Yes, shot on film. I want to thank Joe Rogan for coming in here. He's going to be at the House of Blues in Vegas at the Mandalay Bay on February 4th. Also, Chuck Liddell, who's going to be entering the Octagon. You Jews say fe to the Octagon. February 4th as well at the Mandalay Bay. Dave Coulier. And, of course, his package. Very candid, thought-provoking package. Hard-hitting interview. Mike, see if we can book Dave's package. Get him back on the show. Susie Essman, of course, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Coach Ditka, NFL on ESPN. Thanks, y'all.
He was here.
Until next time, he phoned in. Until next time, I'm Adam Carolla saying mahalo.